I read an article that from the New York Times that Bill Gates had just donated $50 million to Kamala Harris's campaign. And the article said that it was the first donation that he's made in 20 years, that he stayed out of politics. It was a dark money donation. He didn't intend for it to be public. He routed the donation through a 501c4, which was an organization that was set up to conceal large money donations to the Harris campaign. Do you think he made it out of a humanitarian impulse? Well, there was something else, another article about Bill Gates that came out today that said he's just been indicted.
A court in the Netherlands has ruled that Bill Gates, along with other defendants, including Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla and former Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte, must stand trial over allegations related to injuries caused by COVID-19 vaccines. The case, brought by seven plaintiffs, claims that Gates and others misled the public about the safety of these vaccines, asserting they knew the vaccines were not safe or effective. This legal action represents a significant challenge to Gates, focusing on his role in the global push for vaccinations through his foundation's involvement in the pandemic response.
We should have free speech, but if you're inciting violence, if you're causing people not to take vaccines, you know, where are those boundaries that even the U.S. Should, you know, have rules? And then if you have rules, you know, what is it? Is there some AI that encodes those rules? Because you have billions of activity and, you know, if you catch it a day later, the harm is done.
In my medical opinion, these are the most toxic pharmaceutical products that have ever been released on the market. And, of course, most profitable. As we heard from Dr. Julie Panes, Pfizer last year made revenues of over $100 billion. That's just Pfizer. That doesn't include Moderna. That doesn't include BioNTech. Of course, you had AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, and so on. This is a multi-hundred billion dollar industry. And it seems that nobody cares how many people get hurt, how many people get injured, how many people die. And to give you an idea for the scale of the vaccine injuries, 10 to 15%, this is straight out of CDC, VSafe data, where people were actually recording their side effects into an app. About 10 million people, they didn't want to release the data, they were forced to release it. About 10 to 15% have had a serious injury. About 1% have been permanently disabled. This is coming out of U.S. insurance data. Edward Dowd has been reporting on this. And about 0.1% have died. These are excess deaths that are unexplainable, and 0.1% may not sound like a lot, but that's 1 in 1,000.
Why did it take numerous legal demands, multiple appeals, 2 lawsuits, in fact, before the CDC finally handed over the VSafe data, which is already de-identified data for the most part that they provided just 2 days ago, 144 million lines of code that they could have provided in a matter of minutes at any point? Now that we have the data, we could see that getting the vaccine caused 25% of people who got the shot within this data set of 10 million people to miss work, to have some serious event affecting their normal life functions.
The lawsuit was filed in Leeuwarden, challenging the jurisdiction of the Dutch court over Gates, who resides in the U.S. However, the court dismissed Gates' objection, establishing jurisdiction due to the interconnectedness of the claims against all defendants, which are rooted in a common set of facts concerning the global response to the COVID-19 crisis. This ruling could set a precedent for similar cases globally, highlighting the complexities of international law when dealing with high-profile figures involved in worldwide health initiatives. John Bowne reporting for InfoWars.com.
MAGA, I'm Dark MAGA.
A few weeks ago when I saw Elon Musk in Pennsylvania with Trump at Butler, they had that dark MAGA hat on. I said, we've got to have our own. And we've come out with it. Yeah, we can put one out that, you know, just says Make America Great Again, and that's available at thealexjoshua.com. But I personally like this one, Murdered Out. It fits great, and it funds the InfoWar and supports President Trump. And if you don't like Murdered Out, we got it white on black. So get yours right now and a bunch of other great designs of hoodies and T-shirts and top-of-the-line supplements that all fund the Second American Revolution at thealexjonesstore.com. Let me show you a few more of these. Now that the FDA admits fluoride does lower your IQ and give you cancer and infertility, it's a great time to wear one of these beautiful hats, and it's a great way to start a conversation and warn people. Here's the classic Make America Great Again Murdered Out, and we've got the Save the Frogs, over 50 designs, all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it keeps us on air and it spreads the word. Please go to alexjonesstore.com and get your Patriot gear.
It's Friday, October 25th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing. Get everybody in the
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from Austin, Texas. Big show we have for you today. Lots of stories to get to. I'm going to take your phone calls all throughout the show today. We don't have any guests, do we? No guests today. Just your phone calls, lots of videos, lots of news. So let's not waste any time. Let's get right into it. Here it is, your daily dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Friday, the 25th of October, 2024. From InfoWars.com, boom, Trump floats eliminating income tax. An incoming Trump administration could potentially eliminate income taxes for Americans, incentivizing economic growth and revitalizing the nation's workforce. You know, just like Hitler. Just like Hitler, I bet. Former President Donald Trump floated the proposal during a discussion at a barbershop in the Bronx this week when someone asked if he'd ever considered getting rid of federal taxes. He says he wants to replace them all with tariffs. It had all tariffs. It didn't have income tax, Mr. Trump said. Now we have income taxes, and we have people that are dying. They're paying tax. They don't have money to pay the tax. He touched on the notion in June, and apparently is moving towards this. Yes, the income tax did not exist until 1913, the year just before the outbreak of the First World War, also the year the Fed was created. So yes, Trump talking about eliminating income tax. Personally, if I had to choose one, I would say property taxes need to go. But it's a good start. It's a good start. You know, if you're into Hitler, if you love racism, I mean, I'm sure it's racist. Income tax, it's really going to primarily benefit white people. So that's a non-starter. Meanwhile, mass riots continue in Portugal after police shoot alien. Riots in Lisbon rage on after police-involved death of a Cape Verdean immigrant. Violence and destruction are spreading with buses set on fire and multiple injuries reported. Lisbon has been gripped by mass riots by far-left activists and migrant communities this week, following the death of Oder Moniz, a Cape Verdean immigrant with a criminal record who was shot by a public security police officer in the early hours of Monday. The incident has sparked a series of riots in multiple neighborhoods with tensions escalating between demonstrators and law enforcement. The 43-year-old man was shot in the city of Amadora after seeing a police vehicle and crashed into several vehicles. The police said he resisted arrest and tried to attack officers with a knife, leading to the fatal shooting. Well, what do you expect? Well, what did you expect to happen when you brought in a bunch of Cape Verdean immigrants? Not sure entirely, but that's what you get. Of course, doesn't seem to be a gigantic push to arrest everybody even remotely engaged in the protests. Portugal isn't, for some reason, arresting everybody who posts support for the rioters online. It's weird how that works. It's also weird how in the UK you have giant riots breaking out over the natives not wanting to be murdered in their own homes by people the government brought in. And in Portugal, you have the migrants themselves rioting after one of their criminal number tries to kill police with a knife. It's all stupid. Meanwhile, from InfoWars, $150 billion, that's the cost of illegal immigration in 2023 alone. Seems a bit low to me. Seems a bit low. I mean, just $150 billion? That's all? At a time when towns and cities across the U.S. have been struggling to find money to pay for basic services like law enforcement and firefighting, the Biden-Harris admin had spent $67 billion on illegal immigration, with state and municipal governments spending over $80 billion. These calculations were made on the basis of figures from nonprofit Federation for American Immigration Reform, FAIR. FAIR estimated there were 15.5 million illegal immigrants in the U.S. in 2022, with the federal government paying $3,187 per migrant per year, a 45% increase on the figures for 2017. Out of a total of $67 billion spent by the federal government on 2023 and on illegal immigration, $6.6 billion was spent on education, $11.5 billion on welfare, and $23.1 billion on policing. States and cities have faced significant budget shortfalls as a result of the immigration crisis. Denver City Council has had to slash $45 million from its budget so the city can pay the $90 million set aside for dealing with illegal immigrants. That's $45 million. That $45 million includes $8.4 million from policing and $2.4 million from the fire department. Again, it seems very, very low to me. I think the cost is actually much higher. They're saying 15.5 million illegal immigrants. That number is very clearly low. And the government paying $3,107 per migrant per year? What are they talking about? $3,000 per migrant per year. That's the amount they're paying per week to house them in hotels. This is why it doesn't make any sense. The city of New York is paying $352 every night for every hotel room for 200,000 migrants. $352 a night times 200,000. How are you spending $3,000 a year when in reality you're spending $350 a day? This doesn't make any sense. This doesn't make any sense. $150 billion. Just imagine. Just imagine what we could have. You know, it's just in line with the general just looting of America. Somebody tweeted it out the other day where it's like America could have been a paradise, like especially with the fact that we're the global reserve currency printing literally trillions of dollars out of thin air. America is like the person that lives in the trailer park and wins the lottery and wins $100 million. By the end of it, we spent $100 million and somehow we've been downgraded. Now we live in a box under a bridge. It like doesn't make any sense, does it? We in America have this system where we print infinite free money. We have printed trillions upon trillions of dollars over the last 100 years. And yet our just everything sucks, but everything sucks somehow. That's kind of weird, isn't it? Isn't it crazy? Our school system sucks and our infrastructure sucks and our cost of living is extremely high and we're having to be flooded by tens of millions of migrants. Where'd all the money go? It all went to war, I guess. War and just poured down the black hole of big city ghettos, basically. Finally, we have this. BART workers fired due to COVID vaccine mandate to get over $1 million each. Federal jury decides. These are workers for the San Francisco public transportation. BART workers fired due to COVID vaccine mandate to get over $1 million each. Federal jury decides. They sued the agency after they lost their job over the COVID vaccine mandate. Federal court decided in their favor and now must pay a combined $7.8 million to all six former employees. Six people. six people, probably one of the largest public transportation organizations in America, six of them stood up against the poison shot. Good for them. Must have sucked getting fired. I'm sure they were ostracized. I'm sure it's been a pain in the ass having to deal with this legally. $1 million, small price to pay for maintaining their bodily integrity. So good for them. Good for them. How Bart's going to pay this, we don't know. They're already $350 to $400 million in the red. So that's not where the $150 billion per year is going, I guess. Can we just, maybe we'll do a little ChatGPT game here. I just want to know what America could have gotten with $150 billion. My mind reels at the level that we're talking about. What do you guys want? You want schools? Do you want stadiums? Do you want infrastructure? What could you buy with $150 billion? Let's find out. You could buy major companies. So much money that I can't even quantify it. Yeah, as a country. What could America buy with $150 billion? See, I need to have it break down by cost. Because it's everything. You could expand access to healthcare, fund initiatives to reduce prescription drug prices, education, invest in... See, what I like doing is... how much does it cost to build a high school? Two words, right? Let's see. The cost to build a high school can vary wildly, $30 million to $100 million or more. I think $50 million for a high school is good. How many high schools could America build with $150 billion? If we assume about an average of $50 million per high school, 3,000 high schools with $150 billion. 3,000 high schools, that's a lot.
Or 3,000 migrant housing centers, depending on where you live in the country.
Or 3,000 migrant housing centers. I guess the choice is ours. So what's that? 3,000 high schools, that's 60 high schools per state? Something like that? Is that right? Yeah, 60 high schools per state. That'd change a lot, right? That'd be probably a pretty big benefit for our children. Instead, what we got is a long dead strain of tuberculosis reintroduced to Louisiana. That's what we got instead. Instead, what we got is higher crime rates and bankrupted hospitals. How much does it cost? How much does it cost to build a hospital? Hospitals are crazy. I mean, I haven't gone and my wife delivered a baby last year. I mean, it is crazy. $200 million to $1 billion and more. So let's just go on the high end here. $1 billion, state-of-the-art, best hospital you can possibly build. Best electronics, just top of the line everything, $1 billion, you'd have three of those in every state in the union. Or you can have an E. coli outbreak because the migrants are crapping in the fields where they're harvesting onions for McDonald's. These are the trade-offs that we're making. You realize it's a choice. You realize, like, if you just picture this nation, as it's supposed to be conceived of, is like a extended family. Like, can you imagine the level of like betrayal you would feel if like you grew up living in a crappy house that's unsafe and it leaks and it's got mildew, and from the time you're 12, you're forced to drop out of high school so you can go work in a field to make money, and then by the time you're like 40, your parents die, you go through to do the funeral and go through all their stuff, and you realize that in that same time period, they never actually went to work every day when you thought they were going to work. They were going to Six Flags Fiesta, Texas. Can you imagine how you would feel if you realized that your life of misery and strife and struggle and poverty and lack of sustenance and having to miss out on fun things your friends were doing because you had to work, so you thought you were poor, only to realize that your parents had maxed out like 80 different credit cards and were spending $1 million a month on toys that they weren't sharing with you. Like, do you understand how badly the American people have been betrayed and are being betrayed at this point? How still to this day, and there was some article yesterday headline that was like, yes, even though the growth of China and the rise, it's like 90% of growth and production in the world comes from America. It's either 80 or 90%. We are the engine of everything. What do we have to show for it? A population that is on average massively obese and deeply unhappy, where you've got a majority of young people on antidepressants or some sort of other psychotropic drug. We're just being flooded by the tens of millions with people who despise us. I mean, can you conceive of the fraud and waste and just parasitical draining we've been through? It really is hard to understand. Some of the things, like, you know, it frustrates me about Israel, obviously, and we, you know, I was talking a little bit about that yesterday, the day before, or whenever. But it's like true for the whole world, really. The whole world, Europe especially, like, it's all us. It's all America. It's our ingenuity. It's our inventions. It's our power. It's our manufacturing. It's our ideas, everything. It's all us, and we don't benefit. We're the only ones that don't benefit from this stuff. Israel's kind of like the best example, because it's like they get everything. They got free health care, free college, free everything. They have a wall that's like unimaginable, you know, 40 feet tall, barbed wire, double layered, constant surveillance. Of course, when you don't want the wall to work, it turns out you can just stand down for several hours on October 7th last year. But they get border security. They get, you know, actual protection against their inhospitable neighbors, unlike us with the cartels. And it's like, if that was all Israel, fine. Like, let it, they can do whatever the hell they want. All of the weapons are ours. All of the manufacturing is ours. All of the economic, you know, upholding of this totally fake economy is us. The diplomatic pressure is us. I mean, that's the thing. You got Lebanon, sovereign country right next door, not run by terrorists. You know, a quarter or a third of the population is Christian. An American ambassador, the American envoy, is a guy named Amos Hochenstein or something. Born in Jerusalem. Soldier in the IDF. And so you've got these non-Americans, never contributed to America, is not American, didn't fight in the American armed forces, but they cloak themselves in the American flag. They wear the American flag and like a symbol. You know, I picture like Victoria Nuland, like this is my, I guess this is the benefit of having a radio show. I was going to maybe try to make this short film. I'll just give you the pitch. I'll just give you the pitch of what it is. So I want to try to like make something where you could just, instead of trying to tell people this, people have seemed to have trouble recognizing it. If you could see it as a metaphor, and you know, one of the icons I always point to, something like Dolores Umbridge. Like this is the feeling I get when you got somebody like Victoria Nuland, Victoria Nuland, of course, Deputy Secretary of State, destroys Ukraine in the coup, the Maidan coup in 2014. She's there passing out bread and meeting with the Nazi battalions that they're, you know, arming and encouraging to commit terrorist attacks. And, you know, she's on the phone saying, F the EU, right? F the EU. We do what we want. We're America. It's like, you can just imagine this Victoria Nuland strutting in some conversation with some Eastern European person, just walking in like she's got the biggest set of gonads on earth. Just, you know, can order them around, can get them to do anything. If they oppose her, she'll have them killed. She can overthrow countries. She can bring down dictators. Why? Because she's like gotten control of America. Like, we're this giant robot. We're this giant, you know, Gundam. And sitting in the pilot seat is this creepy little weirdo, Victoria Nuland, whose family arrived in the country, you know, just before I was born. You know what I mean? How frustrating this is. It's all American power. It's all American authority. It's all American muscle, American men dying on the battlefield, American weaponry, American manufacturing, American ingenuity, American diplomacy. And it's all just being wielded by these creepy little losers who have done nothing to contribute to it. And again, it would be different if it even remotely benefited the American people. Which is like, here we are as this, you know, this superstar, as this like unbelievably, insurmountably powerful nation. And we can't get anything done for ourselves. And all of our people are in misery. And all of our power and all of our authority and all of our history is just hijacked for the creepy little communistic schemes of these people. American jets are, as we speak, preparing to bomb Iran on behalf of Israel. And this was posted by Kim.com. I must have closed it down. Kim.com posted a picture. It was a tweet somebody put out, somebody of the Air Force. Let me find it real quick so I can give you the exact information. Because essentially we're going to war with Iran. Like, America is going to war with Iran. We are sending our men, our military tech, our missiles. We are going to bomb Iran. U.S. Air Force Captain Daniel Alwan violated operational security by revealing that he's in Israel to prepare for a strike against Iran. Shortly after he made this post, he deleted it. Did the U.S. Congress approve the use of U.S. pilots in an act of war against Iran? Here's the image. Daniel Alwan, they will get the response shortly. I'm above the Holy Land, Captain Daniel. And then, ironically, an American flag. So I don't know, maybe today, maybe tomorrow. It's not for our benefit. It's not our enemy. It's not to make us safer. But it is our tax money.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI has now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products, like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today. Ladies and gentlemen, when I say I'm excited about bringing you the ultimate gut cleanse, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com, I'm not joking around. We don't sit there and shoot in the dark. We go out and we find what are already the best-selling, highest-rated products in the country, and we say, hey, we'd like to private label it, but we'd like you to make it a little bit stronger for us, so it's proprietary. You got it right here. The ultimate gut cleanse. This is not just a gut cleanse. It's not just a detox. It doesn't just have natural ingredients that gently get rid of parasites. Oh, it's got that covered. It's then got a whole bunch of stuff in it like saw palmetto that's good for all your glands. And even the government admits great for men's prostates. And it goes on and on. I cannot read all the ingredients. They're concentrated. They're incredible. You want to get it right now at thealexjonesstore.com for between 30 and 50% off. 50% off if you do the combo and get it with the Ultimate Probiotic. I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action. Most people that research supplements and that are into health know that Irish sea moss and its benefits are documented and incredible. Well, our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, happened to be able to get one of the top suppliers with the highest rated Irish sea moss to give them the authorization for private labeling. So now it's Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. It is the ultimate superfood. The iodine, the trace minerals, the elements, the vitamins that are in this are incredible. They give you instant energy, instant focus. But as you take it for a few weeks, you feel the stamina, the libido, the mental clarity. It is a superfood. It is concentrated. So get Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss exclusively discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen to this. One bottle is 40% off. Three bottles is 55% off. And again, one bottle is 40%. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for keeping us on the air.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yesterday, I spent the whole first hour of the show basically issuing a call to arms, a call to action, to go out and volunteer to be a poll watcher. And thank you to everybody who did. I'm getting reports that the call was answered and that there were more poll watchers showing up, particular places like Harris County, than they even had room for. And so they're like doubling up on shifts and stuff now. So it's amazing, fantastic. If you haven't done it yet, go today, sign up, become a poll watcher, be the eyes and ears of the Republic defending against the ongoing fraud that is already, you know, causing lawsuits and arrests, various, you know, voter fraud schemes being undone all around the country, as it really is out of control. I mean, the number of ways they can cheat is really overwhelming. And again, if you want to know what to do to defeat the enemy, you have to listen to the enemy. When they tell you that they're scared of something, that's the thing you should be doing. What's the Sun Tzu quote? If your enemy is if your enemy is of a choleric temperament, annoy him. Right? If they get mad at this, do it more. If this annoys them, do it harder. The U.S. election experts worry about Republican poll watchers in swing states. Oh, they're very worried. Good. Good. Republican poll watchers, poll watcher planning raises prospects of non-citizen voting. What? Republican poll watcher planning raises prospects of non-citizen voting. What type of sentence is that? What does that even mean? North Carolina election officials air concerns about potential voter and poll worker intimidation. Voting rights advocates say effort is aimed at creating doubt in the event of a Kamala Harris victory. They're already laying the groundwork, just like they did in 2020, for the red mirage. And in this case, trying to get out in front of claims of voter fraud by framing it as if this is something that poll watchers are planning on doing, even if there's no fraud. If there's no fraud, there's no fraud. We'll all be happy. This is why it's so hard to communicate in America. Is because half of the people are operating in this world, and they think everybody's operating in it, but we're not. Just you are. The leftists are operating in this world where, like, everything is a power game. Everyone's trying to get one over on everybody else. If you're not screwing somebody over, then you must be getting screwed over. You must be the sucker. It's this dog-eat-dog world kind of mindset that, again, only half of the population is actually engaged in. And so they're interpreting all actions through that lens, whereas the other half of us, the other half of the population, those of us who just are telling the truth and just don't want to play these weird little power games they're obsessed with, can't get anything done, and everything we do is, again, being seen through the eyes of these deceitful, backhanded, underhanded schemers. So, like, we're like, hey, we want poll watchers there because we don't want fraud to happen. Like, to us, this isn't complicated. It's not confusing. It's not something that you have to explain or get down. It's like, well, we just don't want there to be fraud. We think we're going to win unless there's fraud. We don't want there to be fraud because we just want to know we're fine with losing, but, like, as long as that's the fair outcome. But in the minds of the leftists, it's like they can't even conceive that that's actually the way that we think. You understand what I'm saying? Like, our view of the world doesn't make any sense to them. Trying to figure out how to phrase this correctly. So that's the thing. Like, we're just like, we just don't want people to cheat. We just want to observe so we can stop fraud from happening. And instead of just hearing that and going, gee, that makes sense, I also don't want there to be fraud, the Democrats just have to interpret it through their own lens, through their own distorted, warped, perverted, hateful little mindset. So it's, oh, why, what are they doing with these poll watchers? Why are they there? Ah, they must be establishing a narrative so that if it goes against them, that they can claim fraud even though it doesn't exist because they can't win. And it's just like, no, we just don't want there to be fraud. It's not good. And it's everything, right? Hey, gee, wouldn't it be nice to have maybe a barrier on the border? Like, we have a country and they have a country, and we don't want people just moving back and forth willy-nilly. It's kind of out of control. It sounds a little chaotic. There's a lot of malfeasance that can go on in that case. We probably need a border wall. We need to protect our people. We need to keep our, you know, citizenship being worth something. We need a country. We need a border. We need a wall. It's very simple. Doesn't need any further explanation. There's no ulterior motives there. There's no benefit to gain. But to the Democrats, it's like, what could they really be after? What is this wall really? It must be racist. It's because they're racist and they hate brown people and they want to kill brown people, and the wall somehow is helping them kill brown people. And it's just like, so you know, this is the problem. This is why we can't communicate with one another. Not because both sides are being dishonest and trying to screw each other over. And I probably hit this point too much because it's the same thing over and over. It's the same thing I ranted about yesterday with Jamie Kilstein and Anna Kasparian. Same type of thing, right? Waking up every morning, who are we going to destroy today? Well, both sides do this. No, you're the only side doing this. You're the only side coming up with these elaborate bullcrap schemes of yours to steal the election, to create the possibility of fraud, to open the border because you actually hate white people and are like trying to overwhelm and destroy them, trying to make them a minority in their own country. And this is the thing about the iron law of leftist projection, is that we still don't take it seriously enough. So there's been a lie that's been going around that voter ID is racist. Because it's the same thing over and over, because we're in Groundhog Day and just the same thing happens over and over, whether it's the wall or voter fraud or canceling people in the Me Too movement. It's just, we just have to do the same thing over and over. It's the same paradigm taking place, all these different manifestations. So the same thing happens, right? Republicans just want to know who's voting. And it just, there's no ulterior motive necessary. There's no, just in the same way, you don't need an ulterior motive to tell the truth. You don't need an ulterior motive to like want voter ID. It's very simple. 85% of Americans agree that there should be voter ID required. And that was a poll that came out yesterday. It was like something like 85% of Americans agree that there should be voter ID to vote. You should have to provide ID to vote. Something like 83% say you should have to prove your citizenship. You know, somehow you watch the mainstream media, you watch the news, you listen to politicians, and you would come away with the idea that 90% of Americans think the voter ID is racist. The reality is it's something like 10 to 15% of Americans have been, you know, tricked by that. So everybody gets voter ID. It's necessary, it's good. If it was put to a plebiscite, if it was put to a poll, it would absolutely succeed. You don't need an excuse to tell the truth, but you always need an excuse to lie, right? People don't just lie to lie for the fun of it. In the same way, if you have a political party that is advocating for a position that just doesn't make any sense, there is an ulterior motive, right? What is the ulterior motive for not wanting voter ID? It's because you want to cheat. It's very simple. There's no other reason why you would not want voter ID. The excuse they come up with is, again, the same type of thing. It's the exact same thing happens over and over. Republicans go, you know, you should probably have to provide an ID to vote. Simple. Everybody has an ID. We need to know who's voting. You should have to provide an ID to vote. It's very simple. Democrats can't see it that way. They cannot or refuse to just see something for what it is. In their minds, Republicans are evil, white supremacists, Nazis, and everything must have an ulterior motive because everything they do has an ulterior motive. It's pure projection. So to them, they go, oh, what could they, why could they want voter ID? What could it be that they're trying to pull off with this voter ID? You know what it is? It's probably because black people aren't good at getting IDs. There's probably some percentage of black people that don't have IDs and they're trying to stop them. This is a voter suppression scam. That's what this is. We figured it out because there's no way Republicans just want an election to happen and just want it to be fair and want to know who's voting in it. That can't be the case. It must be that they are trying to stop the 2% of black people that don't have IDs from voting. We figured it out and now we're going to put measures in place and rewrite the laws on the basis of this assumption that providing an ID is de facto voter suppression because the Republicans are KKK members. The reason I'm saying all this is because we understand that it's pure projection, but we don't take it seriously enough in that we're so baffled and defensive about what's going on where we suggest voter ID. They start going, you're just a racist that doesn't want black people to vote. And we're just like, whoa, what? No, we're just like trying to explain why voter ID makes sense, how it's not racist. We're like trying to deal with their insane off the wall bullcrap projection accusations against us. What we should be doing is going, what are they doing? What are they doing? If they think that voter ID is some sort of scam to suppress votes, what are they doing to suppress votes? what sort of seemingly benign change to the electoral system are they engaged in for the purpose of suppressing our votes? Because if that's what they're defensive, same thing with being in a relationship. If your significant other is constantly looking at your phone and worried that you're cheating, even though you're not, it's probably because they're cheating and you should probably look at their phone. That's the rule of projection. So DC Drano has laid out how they're doing this. Here's Maricopa's new plan to cheat. They stacked the ballot to take on average 15 minutes to fill out and sometimes longer. This is another thing about the ballots in Houston as well. You have to click to vote. To vote for president, you have to click through a ballot 75 times. You have to click something 75 times to vote with these 8-page ballots. Now, again, to the Republican mind, to the innocent, pure Republican mind, we're just like, that's too many times. Why would they? That just doesn't make any silly Democrats. They just got too many things to click. It's too complicated. What you don't realize, because we don't have the mindset, what we should be thinking is, what's the scheme behind this? Why are the Democrats making it so time-consuming to vote? Why is it so difficult? And DC Drano lays it out. They stack the ballots to take on average 15 minutes to fill out, sometimes longer. This will create very long lines of thousands of people may not vote because of it. This would disproportionately affect Republicans who vote more on Election Day. Thankfully, election lawyer Harmut Dillon has called for an emergency action to fix this. But this is why it's important to vote early. This is Abraham Hamadeh saying, I partnered with the Republican National Committee to call for an emergency meeting for Maricopa County to immediately review their flawed election plan. It fails to account for the time voters need to complete. So this is what I'm saying. Do you get where I'm going with this? Do you get what I'm saying is going on here? Republicans say we want voter ID. Democrats reject it on the basis of the assumption and the projection that simple, obvious and necessary voter ID is actually some sort of scheme to moderately lower the number of blue counties that are, or citizens in blue counties that are voting. We just roll our eyes at that. When at the exact same time, the Democrats are going, let's make the ballot 15 pages long. Let's make it incredibly time consuming, because that way, if we could just add 5 minutes to every vote count, well, that's 5 minutes for every person. For 10 people, that's 50 minutes. That's an hour. Do it for 20 people, that's nearly 2 hours. Now you're having people wait in line for 2-3 hours more than they would have if we didn't increase the numbers. Nobody's going to wait in line for 3 hours to vote. So Republicans who come out on the day of in red counties to vote, they're going to go home. They're not going to do it. Like, they are engaged in voter suppression very clearly, very deliberately. And that's just one of maybe a dozen different small little, not tangential, but just secondary little actions that they're taking just to try to make it a little bit more difficult for the Republicans to win. Now, all of these things compound. All of the things that they're doing pile on top of one another, and like a snowball rolling down the hill, the bigger it gets, the faster it rolls, the more it collects, the bigger it gets, the faster it rolls. They're dropping a couple thousand illegal migrants into specifically red cities. They're changing a law here or there about licenses, right? This is what happened in Minnesota under Governor Tim Walz. They said, well, we can't have all these, we have all these migrants. They're asylum seekers, so-called, technically. So they're technically, temporarily, for the time being, allowed to be here. So again, I'm driving around without driver's license. We got to be able to get them driver's licenses. We got to just put that through. It's for safety. So you get them driver's license. And at the same time, somewhere else in a different branch of the legislature, you go, we have voter cards, but maybe we should just be able to use our driver's licenses to vote. Yeah, you know, that makes sense. We all have driver's license. That's a perfectly valid form of government ID. Let's say you can use driver's license as your ID to vote. Oh, gee, now you have tens of thousands of illegal immigrants in Minnesota with a driver's license because of this procedure, and now able to vote with their driver's license because of this procedure, and you're dropping tens of thousands of them into specifically red counties. All of this is a plan. These are all the schemes they're pulling off. We're like ill-equipped to deal with this as Republicans because we don't even think this way. To be honest, I'm better at it than most, and I can't even keep up with the number of schemes that they're trying to pull. You know, it's like when Sweden is trying to deal with its immigration crisis by paying people to go back where they came from. And they're like, we'll give you $50,000 to go home. And it's like only a supremely naive people would make that suggestion. Because only a supremely good and naive and innocent population would go along with that. And the Swedes can't project the gypsy mindset. They can't figure it out. They can't model it in their own head, right? Sweden to pay immigrants up to 34,000 U.S. to go back to home country. And do you know what's going to happen? Do you know what the migrants themselves hear when they learn about this? All they hear is Sweden will pay you $34,000 to go back to Syria for a week. And when you come back to Sweden, you got to use a different name. That's what that means to them. Like, there's no. And it's funny because I see so many people online, like right wingers, being like, you know, re-immigration, paying them to go back. If it's what works, if that's what we got to do, then let's just do it. It's like, no, you people don't understand. You're just being suckers. You're just being swindled. And it turns out they've actually tried this before in somewhere like France, and exactly what I said happened. They tried to get rid of the Roma people in France by paying them money to leave. And so they would just leave and come back, leave and come back, leave and come back. They'd get paid payment every time they would leave the country. They were just going on vacation. They were just going around the block and coming back. And it just happened over and over. So like that type of stuff, I don't know, it's just my gypsy blood in me, my whatever Eastern European ancestry, whatever it is. I don't know if it's genetic or what. But you got to be able to see scams. You got to be able to see schemes. You got to be able to think, if I was a dishonest, scheming person, is this a vulnerability that I could take advantage of? Good people just don't even see it. Certainly can't defend against it. Voter fraud alert. Over a dozen mailed ballots intercepted and cast fraudulently in Mesa County, Colorado. Criminal investigation underway after three fraudulent votes counted. Mesa County, Colorado, a place often hailed by leftist media as an example of secure and safe elections, is now facing a scandal that blows holes in the far left's favorite talking point, voter fraud doesn't exist. Over a dozen mailed ballots were intercepted and cast fraudulently before the actual voters even had a chance to receive them. The alarming situation has sparked a full-blown criminal investigation, and three of those fraudulent votes were counted before the tampering was caught. For years, conservative voices have been sounding the alarm about voter fraud, only to be dismissed by mainstream media and liberal pundits as conspiracy theorists. But now, even Colorado's radical leftist Secretary of State Jenna Griswold, who said Colorado is the gold standard of election, was forced to admit something went very wrong. And remember, not only are people able to just steal mail-in ballots, fill them out on your behalf, and send them in, but even if you go in to vote in person on election day, they will choose the mail-in ballot over the one that you filled in that day. And if you're a regular viewer of this show, you've heard me talk about it ad nauseum. The Detroit leaks, the way they were trained to do this. Someone comes in and says, I have not voted. I did not send in a mail-in vote, but you have one for them anyway. And you give the person a temporary provisional ballot. you let them vote, you throw that provisional ballot away, and you use whichever the mail-in ballot said. It's how they're cheating. Just one of the many ways that they have utterly destroyed the security of our election system. Crazy. Some voters received messages through the state's ballot tracks program alerting them that their ballots had been received, only for them to respond, "But I never got my ballot." What are we doing? What are we doing here? What do we do? Why does mail-in ballot exist? Why do they exist? They shouldn't exist. There's no reason for them to exist. The only reason any of this stuff was put into place was because of lockdown. We're not in lockdown. Why are there mail-in ballots? Why have these things been allowed to persist? What is the point? There's no argument for it. There's no reason to have mail-in ballots. There's no reason our elections should be insecure, but it is. And they do. They exist. So why? Because they're cheating. It's the only reason. There is no deeper argument than that. There is no elaboration possible, let alone necessary. They're cheating, and they're using mail-in ballots. The only reason mail-in ballots exist is so they can cheat. The only reason they don't want voter ID is because they're cheating. And they're cheating in a million different ways. So get out there, vote, and be a poll watcher. Vote in person. And do the thing they don't want you to do. Go be a poll watcher. They're claiming that being a poll watcher is de facto intimidation because you're a Republican. Who cares what they say? At the end of the day, all of our problems are solved by not caring what dishonest, hateful, scheming, weaselly little outsiders say. Basically every problem is solved by that. We know the right thing to do. The right thing to do is not just possible, it's easier than doing it the way that we're doing it now. In every regard, in every facet of our society. We want to do the right thing, but we have these scheming little weirdos screaming at us until we don't.
Now, the one thing I want you to do, if I could ask you to do anything for America and Alex and this network and this crew, the one thing I would ask you to do, go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and sign up for Alex Jones VIP Club. It's $30 a month, but you get $40 in store credit. So if you're going to buy a $35 shirt, you might as well sign up for the VIP club so that you can get that extra $10 and just get the shirt that you want. That is going to ensure that we can fund this operation, fund the next operation, ensure that Alex always has a voice. They can try to steal his identity. They can try to steal his business. They can try to steal America. They can try to sacrifice humanity in nuclear genocide. But if you go to thealexjonesstore.com and sign up for Alex Jones VIP Club, they'll never take away our voice. They'll never take away our freedom. They'll never take away free speech, and we can save America together. Please go now and be the reason Alex Jones will always be on the air.
A new extremely important product is now available exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, Ultimate Probiotic. This is a private label, but even made stronger of one of the top, highly recommended, highly rated brands out there today. And it's more than just a probiotic. It's got a whole bunch of known natural ingredients that boost your overall gut health and that detoxify and that helps flush out all the garbage in your body. Ladies and gentlemen, with all the attacks on our bodies, you have to understand that the gut is the front line. And if you don't have a strong gut, it's like not having a front door on your house or an engine in your car. The gut is so important. Probiotics are amazing and are documented for their great effects. Get this high-quality probiotic right now, Ultimate Probiotic, 60 billion, at thealexjonesstore.com. And I want to thank you for your support. Now take action at thealexjonesstore.com. And again, I thank you for your support.
Infowars.com is tomorrow's news today.
price of 1 year of illegal immigration, we basically could have bought all the real estate in Greenland. Could have bought every house, every business, every field and pasture in the nation of Greenland. Which would be useful because then we could send all of the migrants there. It could be a big camp. Greenland could be our Australia. But I wouldn't want to ruin Greenland, so we'll just send them back to Mexico. Clip number 9 here. Massive caravan of Venezuelan, Haitian, African migrants are headed towards the U.S. border in an attempt to gain entry before the election. Go to clip number 9 now.
Migrants from Central America and South America, and also from Haiti and parts of Africa, have decided to leave this morning from the south border of Mexico in direction into the United States of America. The initiative is to make it to the border before the elections of the 5th of November, in the decision that they know that the possibilities of Donald Trump becoming president will limit their entry into the United States of America. This will be the third caravan coming out of the south border under the new administration of the new president of Mexico, Claudia Sheinbaum. More than 13 million migrants were registered entering the south border of Mexico in direction to the United States of America.
13 million, yet another caravan of migrants pretending that they're seeking asylum. This is the thing. Asylum, voter ID, mail-in ballots. I don't know. At this point, and for a while we've been saying, kind of ironically, kind of tongue-in-cheek, we wish Trump was all the things that they say he is. Because obviously Trump is just sort of a typical, he's almost like a 90s Democrat. Like, he's not really extreme or anything. He clearly doesn't want to be a dictator. He doesn't want to be a emperor of some sort. But apparently our system is too vulnerable to whining. And we need a new system that whining and crying can't actually destroy completely. So that's what's happening here. Instead of just doing any of the things that we should be doing and that are very simple, obvious things, people cry about it and then we can't do those things anymore. We want to do voter ID. But here comes somebody crying about how it's racist for some reason and we have to listen to that. And then that convinces a bunch of people and now this obvious, simple, necessary rule is not implemented because of the weirdo crying liars? It's like, do we just need an emperor? Do we just need a king? Do we just need somebody who can just say this is the way things are and then it can just be that way? Do we just need somebody? Like, it doesn't have to be Trump. What about that guy that asked Kamala Harris a question yesterday? Can he be our king? Can he be the emperor? Like, can we have one person who just doesn't hate America and just give them 100% authority and just go, your word is law, tell us what to do? And they can just go, okay, bring everybody home from the Middle East, deploy the army on the southern border. We need voter ID. We need in-person elections, no more mail-in balloting. All the immigrants have to be deported. If you arrive in the last 5 years, you have to go home now. Go home by yourself. If we have to take you, we're going to, take your stuff and confiscate your money or maybe put you on a work camp. I mean, you want to talk about ease of solving these problems. Every one of these problems are not real problems. They don't actually exist. We're being totaled. We're being destroyed utterly because we can't deal with people just like crying and whining about how mean it is to be safe.
As you can see, I'm not just MAGA, I'm Dark MAGA.
A few weeks ago, when I saw Elon Musk in Pennsylvania with Trump at Butler, and he had that dark MAGA hat on, I said, we've got to have our own. And we've come out with it. Yeah, we can put one out that, you know, just says Make America Great Again, and that's available at thealexshowstore.com. But I personally like this one, Murdered Out. It fits great, and it funds the InfoWar and supports President Trump. And if you don't like Murdered Out, we got it white on black. So get yours right now and a bunch of other great designs of hoodies and T-shirts and top-of-the-line supplements that all fund the Second American Revolution at thealexshowstore.com. Let me show you a few more of these. Now that the FDA admits fluoride does lower your IQ and give you cancer and infertility, it's a great time to wear one of these beautiful hats, and it's a great way to start a conversation and warn people. Here's the classic Make America Great Again Murdered Out, and we've got the Save the Frogs over 50 designs, all at thealexshowstore.com, and it keeps us on air, and it spreads the word. Please go to alexshowstore.com and get your Patriot gear.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. This is American Journal. We're actually going to be joined in studio by a guest who's a Capitol Police officer. Was Capitol Police officer. In the third hour, I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls this hour. 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. I have a lot of videos, but everything to me is just centered around, you know, immigration. Immigration is the way that they are destroying our country. They are flooding very particularly red states, red areas. And, of course, it's on purpose. And, of course, you know, more people are sort of starting to recognize this now. But it's been going on for a very long time. Why do you think Ilhan Omar is in Congress right now? Because they brought in tens of thousands of Somalis to one particular area, and that became their district. And it belongs to them now, and everything advocated for is for them, not for America. And she sees her role as, you know, her obligation is to her people, and it's to simply use the power of the United States to benefit her people in whichever way possible. And they're setting that up. Springfield, Ohio will have a Haitian representative in no time that serves and represents only them. You know, there's a video that I didn't grab. Maybe the crew can grab it. Of people being asked what percentage they think the world's population is white. And people are out there, and I don't know if they just thought they were asking about America, even that, you know, is only like 60% at this point, maybe even less, since we don't actually have an accurate count. People are sitting there going, they're answering 80 or 90%. They think 80 or 90% of the world is white. Which is what happens when you continually refer to white people as the majority. It's the majority. White people are the majority race. Like, it really isn't that difficult to just ask, like, majority of what? Majority where? We're not the majority in our own countries anymore. The city I live in, it's not majority white. Well, Austin is. Houston's not. Texas is not. Texas is, like, white people are a minority in Texas. And we make up less than 10% of the world population. So why is it that we're constantly abused and constantly being replaced and constantly have groups of people in, like, planted in our community to usurp and supplant us? And why are people okay with this? How deep-seated is the propaganda at this point? You think we have it? Let's go to this video. It's a man on the street thing, right? Let's watch.
What percent of the world's population is white? 63. 42.
51.
70.
40.
30.
70.
70.
80.
24%.
72.
20. 30.
43.
24.
20.
30.
80%.
Zero.
What if I told you it was 7%?
7%?
7%.
Only 7%?
Yeah.
No
the
way.
The whole world.
Oh, your white people are like top of the world.
7%.
7?
What? Oh, God, seven to 8% is what?
Hang on.
That's not true.
It's true.
No, it's not.
It's below 10%.
Nah, that's both.
Yeah.
Wait.
It's 7.
Shit. And I'm about to be a teacher. Don't learn from me, brother.
You're taking the piss, bro.
No, it's a real... It's below 10%. Some estimates put it 7 to 8%.
What's his tick on? I'll change.
Ozpil. Yeah, Ozpil. Yeah.
Oh, you post me, yeah?
Yeah, you'll see.
It's just crazy. 80%. Is this what we need to be telling people? Is this the messaging that can change people's minds? Are people operating on the belief that 80% of the world is white? Is that how we got this messed up? Is that how dumb people are? Have they never thought about it for a single second? We're 7%. 5% of the world population that happens in North America. What is this saying? Racial mix of the world in which 16% are white? No. This is from Google is saying 16% of people are white, which is not true, but they're saying only 10% will be white in 2060. There's a billion Indian people. There's a billion Chinese people. There's a billion Africans. They all have countries to go to. They all have their own homelands. I mean, that kind of makes sense. Like, why this suicidal program is allowed to continue. Like, if you interpret everything that we see through the distorted lens of leftism, if you think that 80% of the world is white, then yeah, you would probably, it would not make a lot of sense for people to be advocating for white people and for, I mean, it's just, is that what we need to tell? That's what we need to tell people. Like that's the, can that change their frame of reference a little bit? They can realize how ridiculous it is when a Chinese person is called a minority in Britain. Yeah. All right, let's go out to your phone calls. Now we've got Sean in California on the line. Thanks for calling in. Sean, you're on the air about immigration and poll watching. Go ahead, Sean, on line one. Hold on, Sean. Okay, now you're on the air. Go ahead.
There we go, Harrison. How you doing?
Good.
Awesome. Hey, mixed bag here. The topic earlier you referenced with the voter ID and voter suppression, what the Democrats have done is they've successfully taken the argument about it being African-Americans being suppressed when in reality, the voter ID is to check illegal immigrants and make sure the illegal immigrants aren't voting. They've managed to shift the goalposts on that argument. So we got to make a point that it's about, you know, we're focusing on illegal voters, not suppressing the black community. If we can get that argument locked down, it basically nullifies everything the left is doing with that. And,
yeah, I guess the problem with that is the assumption that, like, arguments can work with these people. I mean, they know it's not true what they're saying. This is the frustrating part about it for me. Like, why does this have to be a discussion? Why do we even have to entertain their lies? Like, obviously voter ID is to deal with illegal immigrants or people voting twice or young people voting before they're old enough. Like, there's a million different reasons. None of them have to do with black people. This is debunked like 10 years. I think, you know, the video of, remember that guy's name, Ari, whatever, he's going around New York asking black people if they know how to get an ID. And black people are like so offended. They're like, what the hell are you talking about? do I know how to get an ID? And he's like, look, this is what the Democrats are saying. They're saying that this is suppressing the black vote. So it's like, why do we have to entertain these arguments? Why do 85% of Americans think there should be voter ID, but we don't have it because liars who want illegals to vote are claiming it's voter suppression of blacks? Like, this is what I don't understand. And
well, they're doing a trick to see what sticks. You know, they're doing like what Destiny did to Owen Scheuer a week and a half ago, where they're spitting all these crazy things out on the side, and Owen's addressing the main issue. And by not addressing these crazy little side issues, it's inferred that he, by not addressing them, he's consenting that they're true. There's an element of truth to them. It's a really nefarious debate tactic. It's very dishonest, and it's in bad faith when they do that. That's and that's true. What they've been doing. They are bad faith actors.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that is certainly true. It's just infuriating. People fall for it, I guess. I don't know. It seems crazy to me that it ever gets this far. Like, it's one of those things, and it's like it really is everywhere, and there really is some psychological, like, sickness in America right now. You know, the thing that jumps to my mind is, like, you know, transgender surgery for kids, or, like, you know, men being allowed in girls' locker rooms. How it ever got to the point that you're even having that discussion, you've already lost. There should have been, like, in the time between girls are girls, boys are boys, they each go in their own locker room, to the point where, you know, girls are getting kicked off of their sports team for not wanting to shower with a boy. How many points was there a chance for just somebody with just a lick of common sense and a semblance of courage who just goes, no, that's not happening? And then the people can whine. We know they're going to whine. All they do is whine. You know it's going to happen. Hey, do you mind if my son uses the women's locker room at school? No, he can't do that. Well, you know, he has a condition the answer is no, he can't do that. Conversation over. Like, this is we need an emperor. I think we need an emperor. I'm fully on board. We need an emperor. We need somebody who can just say no to this crap and imprison people who contradict. Because it's exhausting. It's nation breaking. We can't keep doing this. And I don't know why Americans can't stand up against this crap. I don't know. I really don't know why. They just choose not to. We choose not to. It's very easy to say no to these people. Can't do it. For some reason, we just can't do it. So when they say, like, this is, we just need a country where whoever's in authority goes, you have to have an ID to vote. And then that's it. It's the end of conversation. Like, there's no objection to that. There's no reasoning why you wouldn't want to. It doesn't even make sense. Logically, it means nothing. Like, they can come up with whatever they want. They can have all their little think tanks come up with, well, we can call it racist. Yeah, let's call it racist. Actually, we believe the voter ID is suppressing them. And, like, throw that person in jail. Anybody else want to object to voter ID? That's the point that I'm getting to at this point. Of course, we know that that's not even a thing that's possible, because who could you trust? Because who could you trust with that sort of authority? Me, Harrison, make me king. That's my new position. I want to be emperor. Make me emperor, make me king, and I can solve all of our problems in 1 week. I'm not even kidding. Like, imagine you wake up from a coma. You have no idea where you are. You're in some space age pod. You don't have any memory. You don't remember who you are, where you came from, but you speak English and you're like, well, what happened? Where am I? And some guy in a lab coat goes, sir, you have been reawakened. You are now emperor of America. Your word is law. Your command, or your slightest desire is our sacred command. We'll carry out everything you want immediately. And our country is faltering. You have to save it. What do you do? And then compare what anybody's answer, what your answer would be, what my answer would be, what any normal person's answer would be, and then compare it with what we actually do. Right? Imagine waking up from this coma. Sir, you're emperor of America. Here's all the controls. Here's a giant control, you know, panel with the economy and wars and military and laws, and you can just do whatever you want. The person wakes up and is just like, send $100 billion to Israel immediately. Deploy forces against Iran right away. Open the border. Collapse the education system. Put all of the children on Ritalin. Fill all of the food with plastics and seed oils. Quick, put fluoride in the water. Like, what are we doing? Why are we doing any of this? What is any of this? You can solve all of the problems with, like, four orders. You just go shut the border, deport the immigrants, require voter ID, get rid of DEI, CRT crap. Maybe get rid of welfare, too, while you're at it. Put prisoners in, put criminals in prison. Have a three strike rule. Third time you're put into prison, you're never coming out again. Or we're just going to throw you in a lake. We're going to throw you. We're going to create new feeding grounds for sharks. Anyway, it's infuriating. Lynn in Indiana, go ahead. You have a call about Marjorie Taylor Greene. You are on the air.
Yes, Harrison. Don't, when you become emperor, don't let them surround you with none.
I'll try not to.
But it's getting hard to swallow. And when she was talking to Alex, I believe, and she told him, none of us need to go back. And she included herself in that.
To Washington, D.C., you mean?
To Washington, D.C. Because she says we're not fixing it. You know, you spend hours exposing it all. And it's not a lie you're telling. It's proof of it. And they do nothing. You know, what if everyone just voted for Trump and didn't vote for these Congress?
Hmm. Well, you know,
would that wake them up when they are defeated?
I don't even know at this point, honestly, and it's funny that you bring this up because one of the stories that I had from Mike Lee at Based Mike Lee, McConnell's attacks on Donald Trump and Rick Scott are indefensible. Those running for Senate GOP leadership posts need to weigh in on this and commit never to sabotage Republican candidates and colleagues, particularly those who are less than 2 weeks away from a close election. So yesterday or Wednesday, Mitch McConnell says the MAGA movement is completely wrong and Reagan wouldn't recognize Trump's GOP. So again, this is why I like struggle to even talk about this stuff, is it's like, what is motivating these people? Mitch McConnell, leader of the Republican senators, has been for literally decades. He's kneecapping his own presidential candidate. You know that people go out to vote for presidential candidates and then you get down ballot support for Republican senators. People don't go out to vote for Republican senators. So again, this is why I struggle with this, because it's like, even if it's your own ambition, your own legacy, like it's Mitch McConnell's position that he's putting at risk. So like, does he not want to win? Why is Ted Cruz not speaking up more about the voter fraud that's going on in Texas? Does he not care about retaining the position that he's held? Like, I could understand it if you're going to like stab somebody in the back because you're being elevated, because you're being put in a position of power. Like that, at least I can logically follow that chain of events. But why are you kneecapping your own side and damaging your own power and position and profits and everything? Like what is wrong with you people? So you see what I mean, Lynn? Like, I don't know if not voting for congressmen or senators would work, because they're the ones undercutting themselves. Like, I don't know what's motivating anybody at this point.
Yes, Texans need to write in Harrison Smith.
That's right, for emperor. For emperor. Now, we're going to Tell you what. We'll print out about 14 million mail-in ballots, and they'll all be for me to be emperor, and then we'll just take over playing the game that they have written the rules for. Thank you for the call, Lynn. It's infuriating. And look, maybe Texas secession is the way to go. Like, I was joking about it the other day, but am I joking? Is it a joke? If Kamala wins, can Texas secede? What is the argument for being in the federal government right now? What benefit are we getting? We're being invaded? Our young men are, as we speak, probably on a bombing sortie of Iran for some reason. Nothing to do with us. Doesn't benefit us to be in Ukraine. Doesn't benefit us to be paying for the UN and NATO and everything else our federal government has gotten us into. I don't want to be under the upcoming federal free speech restrictions. What is the point of being in this? Like, it's nothing but negative. We get no benefit. So maybe we can just secede. I know people, it sounds far-fetched, but I guarantee you, if in some fantasy world, Ken Paxton and Greg Abbott and like a few other Texas leaders came together, said we're putting a bill on the table of the legislature, and if it's successful, if people vote in favor of this secession bill, we are leaving the Union. We are withdrawing our men from the military. We are no longer going to contribute, or we're recalling our senators and congressmen. The one thing I can guarantee you is probably 10 million people from other states would move here immediately to be a part of it. I think people in the rest of America and Texas as well, but we're eager for somewhere to go that we could feel like we could be represented. If there was an option, a lot of people would uproot today and go move there. There's just no option. There's just nowhere to go. Tim in California, you're on the air on line number 3. Tim, 1 second. Something's happening here. Hold on. Tim, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, Harrison.
Good morning.
Yeah, you kind of enumerated these things yesterday and today, and I'm just kind of piling on with it. There is a cost when you have a lack of consequences. And it's just like, even with children or whatever, that there's going to be a cost if you don't have consequences. And I'll just name a few, and you'll think of dozens of others. But think of COVID, for instance.
Mm.
The children lost years of their development. They were locked down and masked up, to protect them from a cold virus disease. And, just to make things fair, we're going to have 5-year-olds being required to get a COVID jab to get on a Disney cruise. And pregnant women will be told this is safe, but yet you can't go to weddings or funerals or to church.
And
but
nobody
bars
has paid.
And weed shops are okay.
Nobody has paid even a moderate price for it, right? Or maybe we'll grab the clip of J.D. Vance talking to Theo Vaughn on the other side. Stay with us, Tim. We'll go back to you on the other side, back to your phone calls, and talk about consequences and the lack thereof.
Most people that research supplements and that are into health know that Irish sea moss and its benefits are documented and incredible. Well, our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, happened to be able to get one of the top suppliers with the highest rated Irish sea moss to give them the authorization to private label. So now it's Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. It is the ultimate superfood. The iodine, the trace minerals, the elements, the vitamins that are in this are incredible. They give you instant energy, instant focus. But as you take it for a few weeks, you feel the stamina, the libido, the mental clarity. It is a superfood. It is concentrated. So get Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss exclusively discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen to this. One bottle is 40% off. 3 bottles is 55% off. And again, one bottle is 40%. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for keeping us on the air.
I
talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself, the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I only encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
Ladies and gentlemen, when I say I'm excited about bringing you the ultimate gut cleanse, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com, I'm not joking around. We don't sit there and shoot in the dark. We go out and we find what are already the best-selling, highest-rated products in the country, and we say, hey, we'd like to private label it, but we'd like you to make it a little bit stronger for us, so it's proprietary. You got it right here. The ultimate gut cleanse. This is not just a gut cleanse. It's not just a detox. It doesn't just have natural ingredients that gently get rid of parasites. Oh, it's got that covered. It's then got a whole bunch of stuff in it like saw palmetto that's good for all your glands. And even the government admits great for men's prostates. And it goes on and on. I cannot read all the ingredients. They're concentrated. They're incredible. You want to get it right now at thealexjonesstore.com for between 30 and 50% off. 50% off if you do the combo and get it with the ultimate probiotic.
One of the most frustrating things about being awake to the globalist agenda is seeing the general public still asleep. By and large, not aware of the magnitude of the incredible danger they're under, but also the ongoing attacks and the magnitude of the death caused by the lethal injections, masquerading as vaccines. It is so frustrating to see people going about their daily lives oblivious. And you realize ignorance is not bliss, it equals death. But people are starting to really understand how serious things are, and that's a hard thing to do, because to wake up to a dystopic reality and realize that we're in the middle of a giant biological weapons war against humanity, and that there's mass sterilization that's already taking place, and they're cutting off all the major energy sources, is really hard to deal with, but it's the reality. Facing it is our only chance to turn this around, because stuff's about to get really, really nasty. InfoWars.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about revenge, vengeance. Trump is gonna wreak vengeance on everyone. It's like, well, he's gonna punish the evildoers. That's not vengeance. It's called justice, actually. It's what the government was founded and created to support solely and completely. You can call it vengeance if you want, but it's just proper. It's just the proper reaction. When J.D. Vance went on with Theo Vaughn, I believe they're both from Appalachia, or at least, you know, both from the sort of middle of the country. The country, the part of the country hardest hit by the opioid epidemic, where you've got, as J.D. Vance puts it, legalized drug dealing, killing upwards of 500,000 people knowingly, doing it on purpose. They know the consequence. They know what's happening. They know they're getting people addicted to drugs, but they pushed it anyway. And they point out, is this the clip? Can we? That's just the podcast itself. The clip is interesting, because you can tell it's obviously a personal thing for these guys. And they talk about the fact that the Sackler family that did this got a slap on the wrist, a very tiny slap on the wrist. And it's the same thing that happens over and over. It happened with Wells Fargo and a couple other. Basically, any time a bank ever gets punished for something, it's like, well, you did a scheme that stole $4 billion from your customers, and we will be fining you $500 million. It's the biggest fine we've ever levied on anybody. It's like, okay, so what you're telling me is I can break the law and make $3.5 billion. I just have to give you back half of one of those billions. Amazing. So they make hundreds of billions of dollars with opioids, and they pay a couple billion, and they've killed 500,000 people and destroyed entire communities, and they just get to walk around? They just get to fly around in private jets? Theo Von's like, why don't we just send them back where they came from? And he looks up, he's like, Polish Jews, they came over a couple decades ago to bless our country with their genius, right? So yeah, we want vengeance on the Sacklers. We want vengeance on Mayorkas and Kamala Harris for opening up our border. On the people who shut down our entire economy, plunged the world into chaos under COVID, who destroyed the minds of our children by locking them in their rooms for 2 years. Because these people do it on purpose and then they get away with it. Tim in California. Lack of consequences. Anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, you're doing a good laundry list, and I got a few more I can add. I mean, somehow these public servants have magically become our leaders, and the type of leadership is what created the wonderful Afghanistan withdrawal. And, you know, we just simply don't have the time to go into all that followed that. But a couple that really get my goat, how about when you change our fuel thing, and you just summarily cut off all our fuel, and, you know, gas is going to go to $10 a gallon right away. And what do? You start draining the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. We need that for emergencies. We need that for wars. And you just drain it down like it's your thing to do, rather than suffer the consequences of the $10 a gallon, where the whole nation would roar simultaneously, like, never will we vote for you again. But no, you avoided that by draining our petroleum reserve. And another one is, once they started exposing 10,000 Haitians under the bridge, they decided, well, we can't have that look anymore, so we'll create this CBP1 app, and just wherever you are, we'll pick you up where you are, and we'll fly you to wherever you want to go. We'll just fly you over the border, all at taxpayer expense. And yet, who approved that? Who knew about that? The public doesn't know about that. Do they really know about that? And then the last one, and I'll get off, is Joe telling us that Trump should be locked up. But Inspector Herr had to come in and rescue and explain that in spite of the wealth of federal crimes he had from stealing all these documents, he's just too old and febile to be prosecuted any longer. So I guess we'll just give him a pass on that. But yet he was able to authorize Trump's Mar-a-Lago being raided, and now he's up on the podium saying, yeah, he should be locked up. That's after he smashed his hand on the table like he was squashing him like he was a bug.
Mm-hmm. It just goes on and on, Tim. You're exactly right. And it really is exhausting. It really is. And it just doesn't matter to them how bad their policies are. Remember, we didn't just drain our strategic reserve. We sold it to China, by the way. By the way, we sold all of that to China. I got a couple videos that sort of align with what we're talking about here. Let's go first to clip number 14. Because you're talking about, you know, just arbitrarily and by fiat under some ridiculous claim of climate change or whatever other excuse they're using. They're trying to shut down farms around the world, in this case, Canada. Here's a Canadian farmer talking about, just like how they shut down fuel, in this case, they're shutting down fertilizer because they can, I guess. Let's watch.
Hi, everyone. Happy Food Day in Canada. I'm Leslie Kelly, a farmer from Saskatchewan, and I'm standing in one of the crops we grow and that's eaten across the world, and that's lentils. It's a pretty amazing crop, too. It's an incredible source of protein, fiber, and iron, and fixates its own nitrogen, or puts nitrogen back into the soil. On our farm, our biggest priorities are taking care of our soil and land and growing safe and healthy crops. sustainably and efficiently, and using the less amounts of inputs. But right now, our Canadian government is jeopardizing that. They want to impose a 30% reduction in fertilizer emissions. But the good news, we've already been doing that by planting crops like lentils, using zero to minimum tillage, soil testing, using the 4R system, and technologies like sectional control, variable rate, and GPS technology. But the bad news, their emissions reduction goal will prevent me and so many other farmers from putting essential nutrients back into the soil that will grow a crop that feeds the world in a time when we need it the most. We are becoming energy and food insecure, and our government is leading us in that direction. To our federal government, please come out to the farm and see for yourself. I'd rather show you than tell you. And to our grocery shoppers, on this food day and every day, this farmer thanks you for continuing to support my family, our farm, and farmers from across this country so we can keep farming and growing food.
So you go again, just arbitrarily making laws that make everything more difficult. Help nobody. What's the ulterior motive? Because there has to be one, because the motive that they're saying is not accurate or true. So what's the real reason? Let's go to your calls again. Amanda in Phoenix. Go ahead. Amanda, you're on the air.
Yeah. You hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. Yes, I have two things. One thing is that in Arizona, there is a bunch of propositions, but they're actually to counteract a lot of what the left has done in our state. So, for example, the left put a proposition on the ballot, Proposition 140, which everybody should vote no on, which would make ranked choice voting legal in the state of Arizona. To counteract that, the Arizona GOP put a different one on ballot, 133, which makes it illegal to have ranked choice voting. So there's actually a lot of propositions on the ballot because the Arizona legislature actually referred a bunch to the ballot to counteract all of what the left has done, including limiting like the governor's ability to shut us down in times of an emergency. So please know that everybody needs to fill out their ballot, all of the propositions, take the time to do it, print out a sample ballot, get ready, go to the polls, take the time to do it.
And
second thing,
let me ask, do you have a voter's guide that you rely on? Is there an organization that you can look to see what props you should vote for and what you shouldn't?
Yeah, the AZGOP website has like what they call their golden ticket. And they will tell you what's like a synopsis of each of the propositions and why you should vote yes or no for them.
And that's pretty good rundown then?
Yes, yes. It gives you, because you know the language is so convoluted and a yes right. means no sometimes and
I
whatever.
Know.
So
half the time with props I'm like, wait, am I voting for this or against this? The way they word it is very weird. And I had somebody ask me, a friend of mine was like, has InfoWars put out a voter's guide thing for propositions in Austin? I'm like, no, we haven't. If you want to know what to vote for, go find the George Soros, go find the Open Society's voter guide and just do the opposite. just do whatever they say to do. Do the opposite. And you should be good there. But we.
The other thing. Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the other thing I've just been trying to sound the alarm on this is that we really need everybody to go vote, because what the Arizona liberals are trying to achieve is not to overcome the vote with extra votes, but they are hoping for it to be close enough to create a recount and then draw out that recount so that we miss our opportunity or the deadline to send our electors to Washington. And our Secretary of State, Adrian Fontes, he said this out loud at an Arizona Chamber of Commerce meeting in January. He's like, well, it might be too close, and we have a recount and we don't get it done in time, and we don't get our electors in time. So that is what they are trying to do in Arizona. So we need a large margin, and we need everybody to go out and vote, because if they even try to push it to be close, they won't even get our electors to Washington in time.
Well, yeah, I did not know about that scheme they're running, but I'm not exactly surprised. Very, very interesting. And I believe Arizona was one of the, six states that has one of the, secretaries of state that are all working in coordination, collaborating with each other to rig the election and deny victory to Donald Trump. And I'll find some more information about that here momentarily. Thank you so much for the call, Amanda. Fantastic stuff. Let's go to Will in California on line 11 here. Tina Peters is one that we haven't covered very much. I think most of it went down while I was still on a paternity leave. But break it down for us, Will. What's going on with Tina Peters? She was a election worker in Colorado who I believe disobeyed an order to delete material. She preserved material that showed voter fraud taking place, and so she was sentenced to prison for that. They charged her with some crazy, hacking of a government computer or something along those lines. But what she did was preserve accurate information that showed that there was malfeasance going on. What's the latest with that, Will?
Well, Harrison, good morning. And yes, I'm going to vote for you for emperor when I go to the polls.
You will be richly rewarded, my friend.
I think you did well in the primary to get there, by the way.
Hey, I did better in Kamala.
Yeah. Yeah, you sure did. You got at least my vote.
That's right. Anyway, more than Kamala can say.
Exactly. Hey, between Alex Jones, Rudy Giuliani, and now Tina Peters, she was the county recorder clerk in Mesa, Colorado, gold star mom, 69 years old, never even had a parking ticket, given 9 years by this pompous activist in a black robe for doing her job and finding obvious wrongdoing in the 2020 election.
Yeah.
And she actually, and they wouldn't allow her to have any evidence, no discovery. She couldn't even have her witnesses. And the lambasting that she got from this judge accusing her of everything, including white privilege, et cetera, was absolutely disgusting. But hey, buddy, where is she when we need her today? I don't know. I think maybe in Mesa County, Colorado today.
That's right.
They found voter fraud exposed. So where is Tina when you need her? She's serving 9 years in jail. It's disgusting.
It is sick. It is absolutely sick. We covered it, I think, during the Daily Dispatch. Over a dozen mailed ballots intercepted and cast fraudulently in Mesa County, Colorado. Criminal investigation underway after three fraudulent votes counted. And this was only discovered because people actually went to the website and looked and saw a message saying they'd already voted, realized they hadn't, and called it in. We have no idea how many people, I've never been to the site to look at my vote. How many people actually go to, whatever the site is to look at their vote and notice that it's wrong? It's such a rare occurrence that would even happen. The fact that three people already have discovered that somebody voted on their behalf already means there's probably thousands more where this has happened and they've just never checked. And that is Mesa County, Colorado, the exact place where Tina Peters was uncovering voter fraud and has now been locked up for 9 years. It's not America. It's not America. Former Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters sentenced to 9 years behind bars. Never committed a crime in her life, getting more time than rapists and murderers and lifelong repeat, eight felony criminals. Just sick.
Well, she actually proved, evidently, they wouldn't show the evidence, but it's online. And she showed that what they came in to do, this voting machine, I will allow to remain nameless. But she came in and did a before picture of the hard drive and then an after. And they came in to do their trusted build, so to speak, but they deleted, 29,000 different bits of information from the 2020 election. And they're supposed to, and required by law, to hang on to that information for at least 22 to 24 months. And they didn't do it.
Yeah, so she does the right thing, uncovers actual criminal activity, and is now sitting in prison for 9 years. I mean, at a certain point, it's like when is the balance scale going to tip in the direction that says it's not worth it to go along with this? Because every single January 6th suspect, now prisoner, people like Tina Peters, people like the January 6th protesters who were, you know, quietly praying when they were attacked by police and are now facing jail time. Texas couple sentenced to over a year in prison after being assaulted by Capitol Police officers while praying on January 6th. Federal judges sentenced a Texas married couple on Wednesday to years in prison over their alleged role in January 6th riots in 2021. The husband and wife claimed they were praying outside the Capitol when police launched crowd control munitions and forcibly began to push them back. The defendants alleged they were assaulted by police during the process, prompting them to use self-defense, which included using physical violence on two responding officers. So it's a 55-year-old and a 54-year-old couple from Forestburg, Texas, never in trouble once in their life, now facing 30 and 20 months in prison, respectively. 36 months for Mark, 30 months for Jalise. And like at a certain point, when is, you know, people go along with it. We still have this belief in the system that I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't commit a crime. This is America. I will subject myself to the court with the confidence that, you know, they will find the truth and treat me appropriately. At a certain point, it's like not going to be worth making that bet. I'm surprised we haven't reached there yet. But like the next Tina Peters or whoever who uncovers something and then suddenly, you know, finds themselves facing a decade in prison, they're going to make the calculation and go, you know what? It's better I go out fighting than get sent to prison until I'm dead. It's a better bet for me that I can go on the run or kill anybody that comes to get me. That's a better bet than subjecting myself to the United States court system. And honestly, I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. And something that used to happen pretty regularly back in the day. I always look back in jealousy almost at the stories of the buildup to the Texas Revolution when William B. Travis was thrown in prison arbitrarily by some Mexican dignitary for displeasing him. And the response from the Texans was to throw a chain around the jail door, tie it to their saddle, and rip the thing apart and get their friend out. And like, there's a certain point where like authority has to be legitimate. And it's legitimate by the will of the people and by exercising its authority and its power correctly. And when it's not doing that, it's no longer a legitimate authority. You're under no obligation to morally or ethically go along with it. Our founding fathers knew that. We are slowly but surely relearning that lesson, I believe. Let's go to Dave in Arizona on line 10, because you are an election poll worker, which is very good to hear. Congratulations, and thank you, Dave, for doing your part. You're on the air.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Harrison. Great show today. And let me back up with that other young lady said from Phoenix. Jesse and I delivered 300 golden tickets in our neighborhood the last couple of weeks. So it's definitely great to get active and make sure to know what's going on with the propositions here in State 48. My first time being an election worker, so I'll go to an organization Sunday and then all day Monday, and then Tuesday will be a huge day, 5 a.m. to probably 9 p.m.
Excellent. So have you done it yet?
I've been to an organizational meeting where we watch the ballots get read through the tabulators. And a lot of people don't know this. In Arizona, it's two full pages, front and back. And if you mess up on one of the pages, but the other pages have already gone through, they have you put it in drawer number 3 so it can go to the magic adjudication. And what that means in parlance for people that worked the Maricopa County audit in 2020, people get to pick the votes that they think that you wanted to make on your sheet. So people need to be very diligent and fill out their bubbles correctly. And I would recommend take your own blue ballpoint pen. They're giving out felt markers again, which bleed through the backside and will effectively spoil ballots.
We have another Sharpie Gate situation on our hands in Arizona.
Sir, yes, sir. Yep, they know the system. They broke it so efficiently. 2022, I think they've perfected voter malfeasance and election malfeasance. Three out of five election sites in 2022 suffered and had extremely long lines. In this ballot, we'll take a seasoned professional 25 minutes to. So I'd recommend if people can vote early in person, take the opportunity to do that in the next 10 days.
Wow. Man, it is so messed up. Everything is so screwed up. Thank you for the call, Dave. Folks, I've not done a good job today of reminding you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. And one of the fun things about thealexjonesstore.com is it is much, much better at providing us real-time statistics in terms of who's buying what and where things are going. Before, at least for me personally, it was kind of opaque, you know, whether people were buying things or when they were buying them or anything. Now we get to actually see in a very real way, you know, whether plugs are successful at getting people to go to the store. I'm telling you that because now I feel it even more heavily when I'm like, oh, geez, I haven't plugged today. Numbers are going to be really low, which is great because, you know, the audience responds and, you know, here's what we're saying and recognizes that when we ask you to go to thealexjonesstore.com and support us, not only are you getting a fantastic product, especially if you've been shopping at InfoWars for years, it's the same quality products. We have not lowered our standards whatsoever, even as we, you know, create new manifestations, new stores, new products. All of it is top of the line. If you've been shopping with us for a while, you know just how true that is. All of our products are top of the class, and we're coming out with new ones on almost a weekly basis at this point. So go now to thealexjonesstore.com, purchase a product, get a t-shirt or a hat, which are absolutely incredible. Try one of the supplements like the Ultimate Hydration. We just take a scoop and it can do so much powerful stuff for you. It's an electrolyte drink mix. It's powerful and new and just as good as you would expect with the signature of Alex Jones on the bottle. And best of all, you support us in our undying mission to save the world from the globalist schemes to enslave us all. We'll be back on the other side to talk to Tariq Johnson, a former Capitol Police lieutenant who once arrested Owen Schroyer. Things have changed.
All right, folks, Nitric Boost is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this supplement is amazing for several reasons. First of all, vitality enhancement. It's a great supplement to add to your routine if you do things like work out or if you're an athlete or if you simply want increased vitality throughout the day. The other reason this product is absolutely amazing is because Nitric Boost can help with muscle recovery. Now, we know that muscle recovery is an imperative part of muscle growth and that this supplement being added to your routine can help you reach your goals in the gym with that recovery. Finally, cardiovascular health is a major factor when it comes to Nitric Boost. We know that heart disease is a major cause of death in the United States of America. Obviously, we've heard tons of reports over the last several years, especially of heart problems, myocarditis, and things like that. We know that Nitric Boost is a way to support your heart health. Check out InfoWarsStore.com today and get your bottle of Nitric Boost now. Now, the one thing I want you to do, if I could ask you to do anything for America and Alex and this network and this crew, the one thing I would ask you to do, go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and sign up for Alex Jones VIP Club. It's $30 a month, but you get $40 in store credit. So if you're going to buy a $35 shirt, you might as well sign up for the VIP Club so that you can get that extra $10 and just get the shirt that you want. That is going to ensure that we can fund this operation, fund the next operation, ensure that Alex always has a voice. They can try to steal his identity. They can try to steal his business. They can try to steal America. They can try to sacrifice humanity in nuclear genocide. But if you go to thealexjonesstore.com and sign up for Alex Jones VIP Club, they'll never take away our voice. They'll never take away our freedom. They'll never take away free speech, and we can save America together. Please go now and be the reason Alex Jones will always be on the air.
Infowars.com is tomorrow's news today.
After being taken to a hospital for a drug overdose, Anthony Hoover woke up in the middle of having surgeons cutting him open to harvest his organs. Hoover's sister noticed his eyes open and look around with emotion, but she was told that it was just reflexes. The staff told his family that Hoover had given permission for his organs to be donated and that he was declared to be brain dead. But according to a witness, he woke up, began thrashing around, crying, and making attempts to speak, which was ignored by doctors at first. An hour later, the doctors finally stopped because he was showing too many signs of life. Hoover is now recovering from these wounds. This is not an abnormal event. In the medical industry, there is a huge demand for living organs, which is why the term brain dead was invented.
The way it occurred was that Christian Bernard did the first heart transplant in South Africa in 1967. 3 days later, they did the second heart transplant. And you don't know where that is, but I'll tell you. It was done in Brooklyn, New York. And what they did is they cut the beating heart out of a three-day-old baby and transplanted it into an 18-day-old baby. And at the end of their surgeries, a short time after the end of their surgeries, both of those babies were dead. It was illegal. It was immoral. And so they had to do something to make it legal. And so what they did is they set up a committee at Harvard, and the committee invented brain death. The committee did not do studies on dogs or cats or rats. They didn't collect data on human beings. They just invented brain death. It doesn't get better. It keeps getting worse after that. Then a lot of people think that brain death means flat brain waves. They're not even required to do brainwave testing. The way they did that, they studied 9 patients, and 2 of the 9 still had brainwave activity. And then they concluded no longer is it necessary to look at brainwaves, so it's not required to look for brainwave activity.
So when they're doing the transplantation on people they say are brain dead,
they're all alive. They give paralyzing agents when they take the organs so that they don't move and they don't squirm. And even if they don't move and don't squirm, when they cut on them, their heart rate goes up and their blood pressure goes up, which is the response to pain. But they can't demonstrate that they have pain.
Because they're paralyzed. They medically paralyze them.
Yeah.
So they can't respond by...
Right.
That's horrible.
And it gets really bad if you pay attention to it.
Apparently, we are having a human organ shortage.
The United States has a very severe organ shortage.
Every year, there's over 100,000 people waiting for organs, and there's additions on a weekly basis to that list, and fewer people coming off the list. And so we're in this constant state of crisis trying to find organs for people in need.
The demand for young, healthy human organs is much greater than the available supply. And while we are mostly told about the life-saving aspect of organ donation, private industry is hungry for young living bodies too. Medical research personnel call these beating heart cadavers. And according to MIT Technology Review, donated bodies are powering gene-edited organ research. As more and more young people overdose on fentanyl, the human organ business gives thanks.
An unexpected silver lining to the epidemic of drug overdose deaths.
Drug overdoses are now one of the leading causes of death in organ donors, especially among young people.
Drug overdoses have spiked since the opioid epidemic started sweeping the nation. And health experts say the only silver lining has been the increase in life-saving organs for transplants.
Organ donors who have died from drug overdoses have increased by 500%.
500%, that's huge.
That's huge.
A trend they really started to notice 4 years ago. Classin said it started in New England, spread through Appalachia, then to the upper Midwest, now claiming the lives of those all across the country.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
As you can see, I'm not just MAGA, I'm Dark MAGA.
A few weeks ago, when I saw Elon Musk in Pennsylvania with Trump at Butler, and he had that dark MAGA hat on, I said, we've got to have our own. And we've come out with it. Yeah, we can put one out that, you know, just says Make America Great Again, and that's available at thealexshowstore.com. But I personally like this one, murdered out, it fits great, and it funds the InfoWar and supports President Trump. And if you don't like murdered out, we got it white on black. So get yours right now and a bunch of other great designs of hoodies and T-shirts and top-of-the-line supplements that all fund the Second American Revolution at thealexshowstore.com. Let me show you a few more of these. Now that the FDA admits fluoride does lower your IQ and give you cancer and infertility, it's a great time to wear one of these beautiful hats, and it's a great way to start a conversation and warn people. Here's the classic Make America Great Again murdered out, and we've got the Save the Frogs, over 50 designs, all at thealexshowstore.com, and it keeps us on air and it spreads the word. Please go to alexshowstore.com and get your Patriot gear.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of American Journal is on, and I'm joined in studio by my guest, Tariq Johnson. He is a former Capitol Police lieutenant who witnessed firsthand the protest that took place on January 6, 2021. He was suspended for telling the truth about what he experienced that day and has made it his mission to set the record straight about what really happened. You can follow him on X. What's your X account?
It's going to be put up in the on the screen.
There it is on the screen right there.
Yeah.
Elyon CEOTK. ELLEONCEOTK. Welcome to the show, sir.
And thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, absolutely. And for people that don't know, you once actually arrested Owen Schroyer in the basement of the Capitol. I was there when it happened. It was a big deal. It was giant. Big rigmarole for Owen to go through. And then I guess, you know, years later, a few months ago or a few weeks ago, Owen posted something about this and you actually responded on Twitter saying, I'm the guy who arrested you. How does that happen? Just run us through the story real quick and we're going to get into January 6th and all that. But how do you go from being a Capitol Police officer, placing Owen Schroyer under arrest to sitting in the InfoWars studio?
Well, it's a long story, but I'll give you the short version real quick. So what occurred was after January 6th, I decided it was best for me to leave the department after I could come back. And I started to follow people on Twitter, a lot of people in conservative media. And Owen was one of the people I started following. So I'm following Owen, and then he posts something and had no idea it was me who actually made the arrest that he had showed the video of. So I was like, oh, my gosh. So I posted that. And just let him know that, hey, listen, it was actually me that did that, and I actually follow you now, but I didn't remember that until I just didn't put two and two together that it was actually him.
Right. That's so funny. And so what were your politics before January 6th, or you know, what was your view of the political sphere before January 6th? Did everything change then? Was that just a tipping point? You know, how did January 6th play into your political growth, I guess?
Well, I would say I probably started to shift probably in 2015, 2016 to the more conservative side of politics. I was a lifelong Democrat, and I decided to vote for Donald Trump in 2016. And then along the way, I started watching a lot of media. I got promoted to the rank of lieutenant in 2018, and I worked with, how can I say this, some liberal people.
Right.
And when we were in the office, we only had CNN on. We couldn't watch
right.
Fox, you know, only CNN. And I was a junior guy coming in, you know, newly promoted in 2018. So we watched CNN every day, and it kind of messed with my brain.
Right.
When you're watching CNN, and let me put you in a chair and watching CNN for 8-10 hours a day, every single day. And then it made me switch, and I was like, maybe I was wrong for voting for Donald Trump.
Oh, interesting.
Then I voted for Biden and Harris in 2020. And then after January 6th, I started to really see, because, you know, people can say this, people can say that, but I had an upfront seat for it. So I watched them, you know, not tell the truth about what occurred on January 6th. And I'm like, whoa, my gosh, I was there. I knew
right.
it didn't happen. So after that, I switched back to my conservative side, and now this is where I am, and this is where I will stay.
Wow, that's amazing. So what did you see on January 6th, and what did you see reported? Like, what was that disconnect?
Well, I would say the biggest takeaway from January 6th is that it was an intelligence failure. And if you ask me my opinion, my professional opinion, and I'm an expert in my field, I would say it was an intentional failure, because some of the information that some of the high-ranking upper management had, it should have been disseminated amongst people at the lower ranks, so we could actually prepare for January 6th, and that didn't happen, and this is what we had.
Yeah, so do you think, do you think it was deliberate that people were, the National Guard was withheld, like they wanted and were expecting the crisis to happen, or do you think they had undercover people in there actually creating this situation? I mean, how hands-on do you think the conspiracy was for January 6th to come about the way it did?
Well, I don't know how long the show is, you know, but
right.
But if you want to know, I'll give it to you. So I'll try to give it to you. How many minutes do I got?
We got 17 minutes in this, so,
okay, so
we got plenty of time.
I'll be able to get it all out in 17 minutes. So the start of it, and what people have to understand, people blame the National Guard, people blame the FBI, they blame all these other entities. But when it comes, when it came to securing the Capitol, that was the Capitol Police and the Capitol Police Board. The people on the police board that was on the House side, and that person was hired by Nancy Pelosi,
right.
And that was Paul Irving. And then you had the Senate side, Sergeant at Arms, and that was Michael Singer. So those people, along with the chief and the architect of the Capitol, that comprises of the Capitol Police Board. The chief of the Capitol Police is a non-voting member of the Capitol Police Board. But you had those members. So now, to even make a request to have the National Guard, it has to go through those guys first. Has nothing to do. Donald Trump could have said, listen, I want 10,000 National Guard troops on the grounds of the Capitol. He couldn't do that. That has to go through the Capitol Police Board. So this was never a Donald Trump thing. And
right.
And people keep trying to say it was Donald Trump. It was not Donald Trump. And I know that. And you can fact check me. And anything that I say, you can fact check it. So it wasn't Donald Trump. It was the Capitol Police Board. Now, we have our own intelligence section at the Capitol. And that particular division was led by a woman named Yogananda Pittman. Yogananda Pittman was the actual chief of the intelligence. She was in rank and assistant chief. And her deputy, his name was Sean Gallagher. So when it came to the intel, it was a report. And that report was 21 TD-159. They had that report, and it basically outlined what was going to occur that day. And they both saw that report, and they wouldn't give it to the chief of the Capitol Police, who was Stephen Sun,
right.
And they wouldn't give it to the chief of the Operations Bureau. His name was Chad Thomas. He was an assistant chief. Now, if they would have gotten that report, that would have given them what they needed to articulate the need for the National Guard. And days prior to January 6th, you had Chief Sun. He went to Irving, who was part of the police board, and he went to Michael Singer, who was part of the police board. And they both told him that he did not have the intelligence that articulated the need for the National Guard, but the whole time Pittman and Gallagher had it, but they withheld it.
Wow, okay. And I remember Stephen Sun, I think he may have done an interview with Tucker Carlson, but I read his book, and it's like, you know, he has pieces of it. Sounds like you know other pieces of it. But does anybody have a full do you think you have a full spectrum understanding of how all this took place? Because this sense I got from Stephen Sund was he was like, here's what I saw, here was my participation, but other decisions must have been made somewhere else along the line, and we don't know who's really pulling the strings here. Do you think you have a pretty comprehensive view of like how this actually went down, and who do you think was sort of orchestrating all of it?
I know everything. Now, okay. The master orchestrators were Yogananda Pittman and Sean Gallagher. Those were the master orchestrators, and they did it to gain the favor of a woman named Nancy Pelosi. Now, I don't know if you know who she is really, but she was at the time. She's no longer the Speaker of the House now, but at the
right.
time she was the Speaker of the House.
Which now, put her in charge of the Congress side of the Capitol Police, right?
The House side of
the House side, right.
Yes. And her underling, who she was in charge of, was Paul Irving. She hired Paul Irving.
Right.
And nothing goes through as it relates to security without Paul Irving on the House side. He works for Pelosi.
Right.
So Paul Irving said that he would run it up the chain as far as getting the National Guard, but the chain would have meant Nancy Pelosi.
Right.
To get the National Guard to come to the Hill on January 6th. But we can go back and forth all day, but when it comes to, you know, and I try to keep it, I don't try to get too much into the weeds of it because people don't, you know, really understand the technical, you know, because it's so technical.
Yeah.
So basically, this is where we are, Harrison. Two people had the intelligence. Two high-ranking officials had the intelligence. They knew Stephen's son was trying to get the National Guard. They knew that if they would have given him that intel, he would have had what he needed to articulate the need for the National Guard, and January 6th would have never happened.
Right. So one of the speculative things I've thought about, do you think they refused the National Guard because they thought Trump was going to use the National Guard? Because there's the Insurrection Act, and I had the feeling that like they were like, we can't put the National Guard in D.C. because Trump is going to declare an insurrection and order them to arrest all of us. Do you think there's any legitimacy to that, or is that kind of wild speculation? You don't think so?
No, because now Trump was the actual president, so he was going to take over his own administration. Wow. So, and I hear that all the time. Trump was the president of the United States, so he's effectively taking over himself if he would use the National Guard to take over.
Right.
Typically, people who do that aren't the president yet.
Right.
Then they do that once they become to become president. So, no, I threw that out the window as soon as I heard it.
Okay. Did you know that it was a setup on January 6th? Because before the show, you know, I said, you know, we were talking about what we want to talk about. And you're like, January 6th was a setup, 100%. Did you know on the day that it was a setup?
I did not. Okay. So I can tell you what led me to figure out that it was a setup. So on January 6th, now I was a operations commander. So my job on the 6th, I was the lieutenant in charge of the routine operations while they were counting the electoral votes. I was in charge of the Capitol that day.
Okay.
So of routine operations. So there was a lot that didn't occur after all the fighting began. And I'm listening to the radio and I was wondering, like, why aren't these high-ranking officials saying anything? They were basically letting it happen.
Right.
So on the operation side. So and the radio transmissions are public. So if you ever want to go take a listen to them, or if you know another police officer or somebody that was a high-ranking, if they listen to the radio transmissions, they can tell what the issues were immediately if they listen to the radio transmissions. But on the operation side, so I'm like, wow, they're not doing anything. So then even after January 6th, because I don't know if you know this, but I was the one that actually evacuated the Capitol. I made the call to evacuate the Senate side first. I did that at approximately 2:28, and then I did the House at about 14:36 military time, since I go there.
Sure.
But if we would have evacuated both at the same time, and I'm begging on the radio for help. You can hear the radio transmission, so I'm begging on the radio, please help me, to Yogananda Pittman, who I heard in the radio command center. I knew she was in the command center.
Right.
So I'm begging. If we would have evacuated both sides at the same time, Ashley Babbitt never would have been shot. She wouldn't have been there. She wouldn't even, by the time she got to the House chamber, Mike Byrd would have already been gone out the chamber. He would have went over to the Hart building where we were taking people.
Right.
She would have never gotten shot if Yogananda Pittman would have helped me a little bit.
Wow. And
or
so,
Sean Gallagher.
Because the only reason she was shot was because she was trying to go somewhere where Chuck Schumer and others were still there, but they wouldn't have even been there if the evacuation had happened the way you wanted it.
By the time Ashley Babbitt would have arrived on the House floor, everybody would have already been gone.
So why? What was the holdup? Did you call for that and it just didn't happen?
I called for the Senate side.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have called for both at the same time. But when I was working on evacuating the Senate, I couldn't see what was on the House side. So I didn't know what was clear, what was not. So Yogananda Pittman and Sean Gallagher are sitting in the command center and they're watching everything unfold on CCTV. They have cameras all around them.
Right.
So they can see every part of the Capitol for the most part. And they can say, well, we can help TK out a little bit. We see that this is clear. We can start this evacuation. They wouldn't give me any help. So even on the radio, I was angry and I said, forget it. I'll take the discipline. I'm evacuating now anyway.
Wow.
Because they weren't going to help. And I realized now, in my opinion, they were letting it happen. There were other people in the command center, and that's what some people will say, but the only two people that had the information that they had, as far as what was going to occur on that day, was Sean Gallagher and Yogananda Pittman, and they were watching everything unfold on CCTV.
They knew the intelligence beforehand, but they didn't pass that to the right people. On the day of, they knew what was going on and refused to act. Why have I not heard these names more, Sean Gallagher and Yogananda Pittman? These are names I'm not particularly familiar, even though I've read Cheat and Chief Sun's book. There was no attention focused on these two. Why do you think
they can't put any attention on those two? Now, they've had whistleblowers already speak about what occurred from like the National Guard, the FBI, but you haven't seen any whistleblowers testify from the Capitol Police. Why is that? The Capitol Police was the primary law enforcement agency there.
Right.
We were charged with securing the Capitol, but none of those guys testified. I was in charge of the Capitol. I was a lieutenant there. I evacuated the Senate. I evacuated the House, but you never called me in to testify.
Right.
Now, there were about five USCP intel analysts who went to the IG to report what happened, because after it unfolded, they was like, oh my God, this didn't happen. All this is not true. So they went to report it. Sean Gallagher and Yogananda Pittman fired all five of them. They got terminated and not allowed to, you know, they were not allowed to testify to what the malfeasance that occurred before leading up to January 6th and all the intel information that they had. They said, listen, you had this, you had that. And they fired them all. All of them. Now, they're watching your show right now, and the reason why you haven't heard their names is because they don't want all this to come out, because right now they need to have the public believe that it was Trump's fault before the election, leading up to the election. But after the election, you're going to start hearing about these people, and then it all come out. But you're going to hear Sean Gallagher. I'm glad you heard it from me first.
So yeah. Like,
that guy was on my show and told me about Sean Gallagher. It was me.
Wow, so... But you think it will come out, or do you think it'll be buried up forever?
No, you can't hide this forever, because the radio transmissions are public. The whistleblower letters are coming out. It's too much information that's readily available. People just haven't put it together and focused on it. But they can't do that. They got to hold it back as much as they can till after the election.
And it's amazing how effective that argument has been, seemingly effective. Every day I see somebody else going, oh, well, the insurrectionist Donald Trump, and it's like, the farthest thing from the truth. One thing that seemed apparent from the video was that the crowd was more or less totally peaceful until the police started firing munitions into the crowd. Is that an accurate reading of the situation, or did things sort of get out of control first? Because what it looks like to me is you got a bunch of people, and there's a little bit of jostling, there's maybe a little bit of pushing, but there's not a lot of violence until guys up on the balcony start firing down pepper balls and non-lethal munitions, and that, you know, drives everybody forward. They hit the police line, and that's when all the chaos starts. So it seems to me like the police sort of instigated the violence itself. Do you think that's an accurate reading of that, or do I have it wrong there?
I mean, you're not far off now. So this is what actually happened. Okay, so now there were some incidents that when the inception of the people arriving on the grounds, things happen. So there was some violence there, no question. But one of the things that I've been trying to explain to everybody that everybody on the ground that day was a victim.
Right.
Officers and demonstrators alike, because had the National Guard been there, none of this would have happened, because you would have had a big enough presence for people. Because one of the things that police officers do and law enforcement officials, what we do is we protect people from themselves. That's what laws are for, to protect people from themselves. So if the presence there was large enough, people would have said, I guess I'm not going to do anything.
Right.
I guess I'm not going to try to cross this line, because if you had the proper amount. And that's what the purpose of the intel withholding was, to keep the National Guard away off the ground so people could do that, because at the end of the day, they wanted, and I'd say that Yogananda Pittman and Sean Gallagher wanted something to happen to gain the favor of Nancy Pelosi by embarrassing Donald Trump. And that's
right.
Now, do I know if they knew it was going to be on that scale? I don't know. But well, when you go back to look at it, on that day, was it an insurrection? No, it wasn't an insurrection, because you had way more people that were there than officers. So if they wanted to take the Capitol, they could have did it at 12:30.
Right.
The Capitol would have been theirs. Because they got there probably around 12:30, 12:45. The Capitol would have been theirs 10 minutes later.
Right.
If you had that amount of people there to take over the U.S. Capitol by violence, to kill members of Congress, we couldn't have stopped them, because we just didn't have enough people.
Right. Right. And of course, if the crowd had been armed, if it had been organized, like, clearly you can imagine what an insurrection would look like. It was not what happened on January 6th. January 6th was obviously chaotic and haphazard and violent in pockets. But to frame it as some sort of organized insurrection is so absurd to me. And yet people run with that narrative.
But it's more than absurd. It's not fair. Because let's say that, because you'll have some liberal outlets, some liberal media outlets, they'll say, oh, no, 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 those people did have guns. And it was guns found. Mm-hmm. But let's say, for argument's sake, right, that every single demonstrator on there, let's just give it to them, give it to the liberals, and say, listen, every single person had a gun there that crossed over the grounds. So then why didn't they just take the Capitol?
Right.
If they had the guns, then why didn't they just take it over? Because they could have done it. If they, it was 10,000 people on each side of the building. And so that's 20,000 guns and some, you know, really, really, really gun charges. They would have probably had two or three guns. So you probably had 60,000 guns there. So let's give it to you. We had 60,000 guns there, and it wasn't enough to because there were about 150 officers. That's all we had.
Right.
So we had about 150 officers there, and those 150 officers stopped 20,000 people. So, no, it wasn't an insurrection. They weren't trying to take over the U.S. Capitol. So now things started to get agitated. They got agitated that day, and my purpose of evacuating the Capitol wasn't to save the world from the insurrection. I knew that that it was a very volatile situation, and the primary I would say aggravating factor in the building were the members of Congress, so to just get them out, and then let everything calm down. And I was successful in helping getting those people out of the building.
Right, and that's the thing about the guys, you know, standing up on the balcony shooting down. It's like, all right, what's the goal here? If the goal is to calm things down, is to not let this get out of control, then you're firing into a mostly peaceful crowd with these munitions. People are bleeding, they're freaking out, they're getting driven. It's like, clearly this was either on purpose or just terrible decision making. If your goal was to calm things down,
and when you want to use the decision making part now,
yeah.
So were officers probably scared? Could they have done things better? Of course, everybody could have done things better. Officers, demonstrators. But the thing is this, like if you listen to the radio transmissions and you hear people yelling and screaming,
sure,
begging their commanders for help, begging, and the commanders going ghost on you, you get scared.
Yeah.
So maybe you did something that you could have done differently. You know, but like I said, people have to focus on not what occurred on that day, but what happened, what led to what occurred on that day. And that always takes me back to Sean Gallagher and Yogananda Pittman withholding that intel from Chief Sun and the Assistant Chief of Operations, Chad Thomas. And now you haven't heard these names yet, but you will hear these names. And then when you look at Chad Thomas, he was the person in charge of the Operations Bureau, which I worked for him.
Mm.
And you don't give him the intelligence that, hey, listen, you're going to have people trying to come into your building, take over the tunnels. If you just read 21 TD 159, you'll see what they're going to kill officers. And Yogananda Pittman has this report and was like, if I give this, and this is probably my guess is what she's thinking, if I give this to Stephen's son, he's going to take this. And here you go, Nancy Pelosi. Here you go, Paul Irving. Now I got the need. I can articulate the need for the National Guard. Give me some troops.
And you wouldn't have had all
and
the
you
chaos.
You wouldn't have had all that chaos.
And then maybe the vote would have happened and people would have objected and we could have had an investigation into the claims of voter fraud.
Do you guys have a picture of Sean Gallagher up there?
We can probably bring one up.
Let's put a picture up here. Let's see who he is.
We'll bring up Sean Gallagher. But that's one of the things that never made sense to me, is the whole point of Trump supporters going there was because we wanted the procedure to continue. We wanted people to object lawfully, as is their constitutional obligation, to say we want a 10-day waiting period to investigate claims of voter fraud. So the idea that it was Trump's goal or Trump supporters' goal is to shut down the Capitol that day, it's totally contrary. It's the opposite of what people actually wanted to happen. So the whole thing just makes so little sense. And I feel so lucky to have you here. Maybe we'll take calls so people can ask questions, or maybe we'll put out a thing on Twitter. You can leave your questions, because I feel like this is such a great opportunity to be talking to my guest, Tariq Johnson, former Capitol Police lieutenant. He was there on January 6th and saw what happened behind the scenes. You're getting the real dirt here. And we're preempting Owen Schroyer's bombshell interview of Tariq later. So we'll be back in just a few minutes with more from Tariq Johnson. Don't go anywhere, folks.
Most people that research supplements and that are into health know that Irish sea moss and its benefits are documented and incredible. Well, our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, happened to be able to get one of the top suppliers with the highest rated Irish sea moss to give them the authorization of private labeling. So now it's Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
It is the ultimate superfood. The iodine, the trace minerals, the elements, the vitamins that are in this are incredible. They give you instant energy, instant focus. But as you take it for a few weeks, you feel the stamina, the libido, the mental clarity. It is a superfood. It is concentrated. So get Alex Jones Ultimate CMOS exclusively discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen to this. One bottle is 40% off. Three bottles is 55% off. And again, one bottle is 40%. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for keeping us on the air.
I have been in a 28-year marathon battle with a globalist. I have come from nowhere to the very heights of politics, not just in America, but in the world. We are engaging the globalists at point-blank range in the information war. But I don't deserve the credit. Yes, I persevered, but the listeners and viewers who support InfoWars are the real reason we've had this success. We're having now the greatest victories in the fight against the New World Order we've ever had. We are now entering the final mile of the marathon. And that's why today it's more important than ever to realize how important you've been in this fight and to continue in the efforts you've been carrying out and to intensify them. God bless you all. I salute you. I thank you. And I beg you to intensify what you're doing now because we are over the target and history is happening. The fight is my fight. It's your fight. It's our fight. God bless you all.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
At InfoWars MD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric Oxide, Probiotics, Joint Relief Max, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Collagen, Superfood Greens, Turmeric, Ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Max Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWars MD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. What an opportunity we have to talk to Tariq Johnson, former Capitol Police Lieutenant. He witnessed firsthand the protests took place on January 6th, 2021, suspended for telling the truth, and my goodness, I mean, even just what you told me during the break here, it's boggling my mind. Where do we even begin? So you said, so Sean Gallagher and Pittman, these are the two that were orchestrating it. They were the two that had the intelligence, that were withholding help on the day of and not helping to evacuate and everything that you've already explained. But it can't just be them, right? They have to be working with somebody else, right? Or they, I mean, why would, they didn't just choose to do this on their own, did they?
Yes.
You think
and,
so?
And the reason why is because now I don't know how much you know about the Trump and the Nancy Pelosi, but just to, so I'm going to walk you through it.
Yeah.
So Nancy Pelosi hates Donald Trump.
Yeah, so, yes. Can imagine.
Okay, Yogananda Pittman and Sean Gallagher are super close to Nancy Pelosi.
Right.
So they figure that if they just withheld that intelligence, it's going to embarrass Donald Trump. So they withheld the intelligence on purpose. Now, this is what
right,
I totally
right.
believe. Now, and there are about five intel analysts that were all fired. So now when the intel analysts went to the IG to report what Sean Gallagher and Pittman did, because if this is an intelligence failure, both Sean Gallagher and Yogananda Pittman led the intelligence. So
right.
they want to get the intelligence first before anybody gets it. And now they can look at it and they can decide who they want to give it to. So I found out later on that Sean Gallagher only gave it to Democrats. He gave it to Chuck Schumer, and I think he gave it to one of Chuck Schumer's assistants. But he would not give it to Chief Sonn. He would not give it to Chad Thomas, both who were responsible for ensuring the Capitol was protected. They wouldn't give it to either one of those guys.
Right, but you don't think they're operating under orders from Pelosi?
Honestly, I think that they did it to gain her favor. Now, if would it have been directly Pelosi? It could have been one of Pelosi's staff members. And I've heard some names, and I don't want to say those names because I can't, like, I never try to speak about something that I don't know.
Right, right.
I
no speculation here. Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
want to do that. So I heard some names of some people who worked for Nancy Pelosi that Sean Gallagher and Yogananda Pittman may have spoke to them, and they could have been like, you know, did you get, you know, 21 TD-159? It was like, you know, maybe we shouldn't give this to Sonn. Maybe, you know, that
right,
could have
right.
happened with those other people. But I don't know if they would have talked directly to Nancy Pelosi about the withholding of intelligence. But the what is a fact is that they did withhold the intelligence. They did not give it to Chief Sonn. They did not give it to Assistant Chief Chad Thomas, both of who were responsible for the on-ground protection of the Capitol.
Right, it just seems like such a crazy thing to do just on your own. I mean, it's wild because even, you know, best case scenario, they severely messed up, right? Worst case scenario, it was on purpose. They did this by design. They knew what was going to happen, and they let it happen on purpose. That's the assumption. That's the conspiracy theory. But best case scenario, they seriously messed up and still have to be, you know, held to account for it one way or the other. But you're telling me
they both got promoted. So after they both got promoted. So it's crazy. Now, I don't know if you know about this one. So Paul Irving, he was the House Sergeant at Arms. So after January 6th, he resigned on January the 7th. Right.
OK.
So he just flat out quit because he knew he was in charge of security.
Yeah.
So he said, oh, my gosh. So he quit.
Yeah.
So after he quit on January, because now. So the Capitol Police now, they're in cover-up mode.
Right.
So now he quits on January the 7th. On January the 8th, he signs off on Yogananda Pittman to be the chief of the Capitol Police. How does he sign off on her to be the chief of the Capitol Police on the 8th when he resigned on the 7th?
Right.
Like I said, you can check all this because they was like, oh, crap. We need him to sign off on Pittman being the chief so Pittman can keep covering everything up. And then, and this is one of the things that I've said this multiple times. So now Pittman has forced a bunch of people, to include myself, to sign NDAs, right?
Right.
Well, let me rephrase. Pittman was, at the time when I left, she was the assistant chief. She lost her position to J. Thomas Manger, who was another corrupt individual. So she lost her position to him because she was trying to get the chief's job full time, but she didn't get it. They gave it to Manger.
Okay.
So and they gave it to Manger. I think that was July 24th for 2021.
Okay.
But she was in the acting position from January the 8th up until July 23rd. And within that time period, she forced people to sign non-disclosure agreements.
Right.
And they couldn't speak to anything January 6th related. So now my point is that if she was made chief falsely, if Irving, who could not sign off on her to be the chief on January the 8th, if he resigned on the 7th,
right.
All those NDAs should be null and void and the people should be allowed to speak.
That's a good point. And you were telling me during the break, and I'd love for you to reiterate it here, how they force people to sign NDAs, because you're not alone in being somebody who was there on the ground, who's working for the Capitol Police, who saw things go badly, who want to, you know, tell the truth about what happened. So how do they get people to sign NDAs in order to not, you know, come out and go public with this stuff?
Now, so to retire, so let's say for argument's sake, you have to have 25 years with the Capitol Police if you're not age 50 to retire, or 25 years, you can retire at any age. So, and I've learned this throughout the last couple of years. The Capitol Police, they have to process your retirement. And even if you have your time, a federal agency still has to process your retirement. You can't go through OPM yourself. So the Capitol Police have to do it. They could say, I'm not signing off on your retirement. So what? So it doesn't matter if you have the full 25 years. Doesn't matter because we still have to process your federal retirement. You can't go through OPM yourself. So if you don't sign this non-disclosure agreement, we're not going to sign off on your retirement.
That's so you lose 25 years worth
of. So 25 years, or I mean, you still get your retirement. You can go through OPM yourself at 57. But if you are trying to retire at 48 after you've done your 25 years, you can't get your money until you're 57.
Wow.
Unless you sign this non-disclosure agreement slid over to you by Yolanda Pittman.
Right.
And she forced people, and I know this for a fact, she forced people to sign non-disclosure agreements. And now my thing is that all those non-disclosure agreements should be null and void. And so now, and in these non-disclosure agreements, you got people who could probably present exculpatory evidence in J6 defendants' cases, but they can't give it to you because they're under an NDA.
Wow. That's so messed up. So how did the January 6th show trial play into all of this? Because obviously they had what appeared to be a trial as big TV production. You know, we've got the clips of it. They're playing clips of our show and stuff like that up there. And it was a complete show trial, right? Only the prosecution got to present witnesses and evidence, and the defense was not allowed to do that. How did they keep people away from that who, like yourself, would want to tell the truth about it? What do you think the purpose of that is? And do you think we'll have a real, you know, trial or review of January 6th with whistleblowers in the future?
I don't know if anybody, Republicans or Democrats, want a real January 6th, because you're probably going to be able to find fault on both sides, and people probably just don't want it. The Democrats were more powerful at the time, so they got to put on the show that they wanted to put on.
Right.
And they did. So what I think the country, if you ask my personal opinion, I think the country will be better served as far as you probably would have to do things behind closed doors, figure out how you hurt these people. And when I say people, I mean police officers and some of the demonstrators, and fix their issues and things that happen to certain people, and fix it and then let it go. Because I tell people, and I've given this example before. So when you talk about corruption, obviously we know that there was a lot of corruption when it comes to January 6th, and leading up to it and after. When you are at a power level of a 4, right? And so the 3 who was subjected to the corruption, or he saw the corruption, he goes to the level 5 and he reports it.
Mm.
And then the level 5 can fix it. So let's say the corruption was happening at level 7. And the level 6 sees the corruption, so he reports it to the level 8. They fix it. But if the corruption's at a level on a scale of 1 to 10, if the corruption's on the level of 10 and you're 9 and you see it, and there's no 11 to go to. So the thing is, I told people, that's why, like, my fight is not for accountability. Because the people who are so corrupt and the people who caused what occurred on that day are at a level 10.
Right.
So you're not going to make – it's like asking God. I say God's made a mistake, right?
Right.
You say, now, sir, you made a mistake. You're going to have to punish yourself. And God's going to be like, see how that works out.
Right,
now,
right.
I might fix this for you, but I'm not going to punish myself. And that's where we are.
Right. God, that is a big problem to be in. This is a problem to have when you've got the people. It's the fox guarding the hen house, right? And by the way, I mention it live. If guys, you want to take some phone calls, I did see some people called in at the end of the last segment. If they have questions for Tariq, I feel like this is such a good opportunity for anybody to get questions answered about what happened on January 6th or the Capitol Police in general. How many people do you think on the Capitol Police, you know, would be willing to be whistleblowers or understand that something bizarre happened that day? Because we've seen video after video on the day where Capitol Police are going, this was a setup. Where's the backup? We're getting smashed out there. What is going on? Because I think this helps people understand how conspiracies even happen, right? There's always this like, well, too many people would have to be in the know, and there's no way you could keep it secret at that, you know, with that number of people knowing about this. But in a way, they have this ability of people like yourself almost playing a role in the event without knowing it or without being willing or, you know, consciously participating in it. So how many people do you think were in on it? How many people were sort of just patsies and caught up in the middle? Or was it just all of these two people, the Gallagher and Yoga Mom?
Within the Capitol Police, it was those two people. You had it was a lady named Julie Farnham who was in charge of the intel analysts that were fired, and she helped Pittman and Gallagher get those people fired. So and then you had some people. So now, because there are two segments of this, you have the actual setup. That was a group of people, and then you have another group of people who were leading the cover up. So now, if you talk about the setup, those are some different people than the cover up. Sean Gallagher and Pittman are in both of those groups.
Okay.
Yeah. So now, and there are a lot of people when it comes to whistleblowers. They're whistleblowers that work for the Capitol Police. They're whistleblowers who don't work for the Capitol Police anymore, and they really can't really speak about certain things on the record, because then if they give a certain amount of information or the information that can lead to who they are, then you have to worry about Sean Gallagher and J. Thomas Manger. And Manger is the Capitol Police chief now, who was brought in to protect Gallagher.
Right.
Because Pittman had, you know, to protect Pittman and Gallagher. I don't know if he could help Pittman, because she's her failure was just too large. So she just resigned. And she went over to California, Berkeley, to lead that agency over there.
That's right.
Yeah, she went there. But Gallagher is still there. Gallagher doesn't have enough time to retire yet. So Gallagher has to stay. Pittman had the age. Well, she was close to the age, but Manger made a deal with her attorney to let her leave early, even though it was against federal law for her to do what she did. But Manger, he did it anyway and let her retirement so she can get a retirement check and go over and police California, Berkeley. That school, I think, it's pretty liberal over there. But
a little bit.
She's at home over there now.
Yeah, I bet she is. Wow, yeah. So you've got the intel, the operations, and then the cover-up afterwards. What do you think needs to happen next? I mean, and how important do you think the election is in getting some justice or clarification with what happened on January 6th? I mean, it seems to me like if Kamala gets in office,
if she gets in, then it's done.
It's done, right? Yeah.
And now it's funny, because I was talking to one of the whistleblowers recently. I was talking to one of the whistleblowers, and they were telling me, you know, and we all know if she gets in, then what's going to happen to us? And I had to basically say, we have to wait another 4 years to see if, you know, but, you know, there's going to be no reason for her to go back to help those people, because the now the FBI agents, like you probably heard of Steve Friend. All these people, Cal Surf and all these people were they came out and they spoke against what occurred on, you know, leading up to January 6th, after January 6th. And they were pounded on. So now this happened to them under the Biden-Harris administration. So why would she go back now after she's the president now, and even after what they did to all these whistleblowers? You think she's going to go out and, well, I want to help the Capitol Police, you know, Capitol Police whistleblowers? That's not going to happen.
Right.
Nobody's going to help those people. And I don't know, you know, how much Donald Trump knows. I don't know if he wants to just move on from this, if he wants to go back and say, listen, let's just, you know, fix the people who were broken and move on. Because at the end of the day, Donald Trump has a bigger job than January 6th.
Right.
Our country is broken. So we need somebody, we need him to get in there. He has to get rid of the illegal immigrants. He has to fix some inflation. We got issues past that. He'll probably have to put a commission together to review what occurred on January 6th and to try to fix those people, make the recommendations. He signs off on it, and then that's it. You know, but he has to look forward, and he probably has to have a group of people that he trusts, their integrity and that their knowledge of what occurred on January 6th, put them together, let them fix it.
Like, she should at the very least pardon the people that are right now rotting in jail cells for unspoken conspiracies to invade the Capitol, like Stuart Rhodes. That's my thing.
She gets in, and she's going to those people are going to still rot.
Yeah.
Like, I got subpoenaed to testify in Rhodes' case.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then the FBI brought me in, and I'll be honest, the FBI, because they asked me, what did I think about the Oath Keepers? And I told them I'm just going to tell you the truth no matter what it is, whether you like it or not. And I said, the two people, I don't know if you know, I was the guy with the mega hat on, and they led me.
Right.
Yeah, so it was two guys. I didn't know who the Oath Keepers were until after January 6th, and they helped me get up the steps. They helped me get back down.
Right.
So I told the FBI that very thing. I said, those guys helped me. I don't know what they did before my interaction with them. I don't know what they did after. But that particular instance, those guys helped me.
Right. Because you wanted to put the hat on to calm people down and go, I'm on your side. Let's try to calm down. Yeah, I didn't realize that was you. But, yeah, I remember reading that account. Yeah.
That was me.
Wow.
Yeah, and I did that after I evacuated the Senate and the House.
Right.
And then I did the hat. And then Yogananda Pittman suspended me.
Wow. So what happened? You were subpoenaed. Did you end up testifying?
After I told them that the oath keepers, I said that no, they did not.
You were not going to be a friendly witness for the person.
I was not going to. Nothing that I said to the FBI made them want to testify.
Yeah.
So, and I would have told the truth. They helped me up the steps. They helped me back down.
Right.
I think I could have got up there without their help. No. But I think I could have got back down the steps without their help. No.
God, and it's just brutal what those guys and others are going through. Looks like we do have a few calls of people who want to ask. Andrew in New Jersey wants to ask about somebody a lot of people have questions about. Andrew, thanks for calling in. You're on the air with Tariq Johnson. Go ahead.
Thanks for your long service. And wanted to ask about Ray Epps and other plants, also Antifa infiltration, FBI plants. And also, what did you think, speaking of not letting you testify, Liz Cheney wouldn't let the Secret Service officers testify that they claimed they were accusing Trump of assaulting, trying to choke them out. So what did you think of not letting them? It just triggered, I remembered you couldn't testify. So I'll hang up and listen.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks for being on.
Okay, now, thank you. I'm putting out a letter on Twitter specifically about Liz Cheney. So now, a whistleblower wrote a letter. He walked it over to Liz Cheney's people, hand delivered it to Liz Cheney's people, and he was begging for help. You know, telling people what occurred on January 6th, everything. So I'm gonna put this letter out. I'm gonna make the letter public next week. So follow me on Twitter, you'll see it. And she refused, and he told me she refused to meet with him. Once you read this letter, so you're gonna read this letter, and you're like, she after reading this letter and she refused. So in my opinion, Liz Cheney is a monster to me. And I talk about her regularly on Twitter whenever I can. If there's an opportunity for me to speak about Liz Cheney, I'm raising my hand. But no, she's a monster in my opinion.
Wow.
People call her a hero. She's an absolute monster.
And what about the question about Ray Epps, or not even specifically him, but the idea of undercover agitators directing the crowd and working people up? Obviously, I think it was last week there was FBI questioned, and for the first time, really, they admitted, you'd be surprised at how many undercovers. And we didn't get an exact number, but obviously there were a lot. What do you think about that, and did you see any of that or suspect any of that on the day?
On the actual day, no, I didn't expect. Now, I knew there would be undercovers in the crowd.
Right.
I mean, because, we had undercovers.
Right.
So,
it's actually responsible to have undercovers in a crowd like that.
We have to have any big event. We always have undercovers in the crowd.
They're not supposed to be the ones urging the crowd forward. That's the issue, right?
It boggles my mind. It's the number one issue.
Right.
And people have to look at that. But like I said, when the corruption's at a level 10, we're at a point now, where the corruption is, they can do what they want. And the question is this, and I'm going to ask you, what do you want to do about it? Yes, we did this. Yes, we did that. We can talk about it on these shows, but what can we really do about it? There's nothing we can do when they're at a 10. Their power level is at a 10. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
So the only thing you can do, so I take that back. There is one thing we can do. We can vote Trump 2024. That's all we can do. And we got to hope and pray it changes at that point.
Yeah.
Because if he gets in, he can fix it. If he doesn't get in, then we continue where we are.
Yeah. And what about the fact that Capitol Police now has satellite offices in Florida and California? I know that was the plan immediately after January 6th. Do you know, has that progressed, and is that still going on? And
I think they're still working on that. I think they're still trying to expand. Manger, who is
so strange,
is trying to get the budget even larger. Yes, because the Capitol Police is the agency. I mean, people talk about when it comes to law enforcement agencies, as far as on the power structure, Capitol Police is number one.
Wow.
The police, Congress.
Right.
The police, Congress. Congress, and don't get it twisted, when you talk about power, Congress controls the budget.
Right.
You control the money, you control the country.
Right.
And if you control this country, you control the world. So when you talk about, the Sean Gallaghers, the Yogananda Pittmans, these are some of the most powerful people in the world. So now, how do you withhold that amount of intelligence? It's proven she held that amount of intelligence. And then you go give her a job at California Berkeley at, what, $280,000 a year.
Oh, I'm sure.
After you did, and then you're still getting a pension from the Capitol Police at a level of over $200,000 a year. She's rich.
No, they're sitting pretty. They're absolutely sitting pretty. I didn't really, man. This time's been flying by. This conversation has been just so fascinating, and I can't wait to hear you talk with Owen Schroyer later today. But we do have at least time for one more call. Let's go to Chaz in New York. You were there on January 6th. Go ahead, Chaz. Keep it short, if you will, please. Your question for Tariq Johnson.
Yeah, it's Chaz with a Z, but it's nice to talk with Tariq. I was there with some people. I'm not going to name names, but
what's your question, Chaz?
All right. The radios went out and everything. Like, apparently. And, you know, I had radios, too. Like, you know, I was actually in charge of radios for a bunch of people. And when I lost radio communication with people, I just got the heck out.
Smart.
I'm just like, you know, hey, you know, why the... Because I got sprayed with pepper balls, like, twice in the eyes.
I did, right? Too.
Second time, it hurt. It hurt so hard, like, I couldn't even force my eyelids open.
Oh, yeah.
And thankfully,
miserable.
Somebody had water there, you know, to, you know, right. Wash my eyes out.
Sorry to cut you off, Chaz, but we only have about 2 minutes left in the show, and I want to hear Tariq's response. Alvin and Austin also called in asking how this was being recorded. So a couple questions about communications and recording here. Were radio communications jammed somehow?
No, because I went over my radio, and when I was begging for help, and when I listened to the radio transmissions after, I could hear it clear as day.
Mm.
So, you know, but he might have been on a different radio frequency with, you know, some people he were there with. But we had our own frequency, and the radios were clear. I mean, it was a lot of traffic on the radio, but it was nothing that she or he, as in Yogananda Pittman and Sean Gallagher, they heard the begging.
Yeah.
Didn't send anybody.
Wow. Yeah, what a crazy, and you know, hopefully we can just pray Trump wins and we get some sort of justice for this and we're able to, you know, question these people and provide a platform for whistleblowers to come out and speak without losing their pensions, which is just such a brutal punishment for somebody just trying to tell the truth. Tariq Johnson, thank you so much for being on with us. Follow him on X. And so you wrote that letter that you delivered to Liz Cheney. She didn't want anything to do with it, but you'll be releasing that publicly.
Now, I didn't write it.
Oh, you didn't write it.
A whistleblower wrote the letter.
Okay.
So I'm going to put it on this. I want you to read the letter.
You're delivering it. Okay.
And she's on the January 6th committee at the time she got that letter, and she refused to meet. This is what the whistleblower told me herself. She refused to meet with me after that letter came out. So that letter is coming out sometime next week. Read it. Tell me what you think.
Wow. The layers of this corruption really are incredible. Tariq Johnson, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for coming over to the good side and, you know, letting people know what's going on, because, you know, it's so frustrating trying to talk to people that follow mainstream media out there, and their vision of what happened on January 6th is so warped. And it's great hearing it from the horse's mouth, from somebody that was actually there in charge and on the ground. Thanks for being with us, folks. Stay tuned. The Alex Jones Show begins in 90 seconds. Tariq Johnson will be on with Owen Schroyer on the War Room at 4 p.m. today. Make sure to tune in for that. That I can't wait for.
As you can see, I'm not just MAGA, I'm Dark MAGA.
A few weeks ago, when I saw Elon Musk in Pennsylvania with Trump at Butler, and he had that dark MAGA hat on, I said, we've got to have our own. And we've come out with it. Yeah, we can put one out that, you know, just says Make America Great Again, and that's available at thealexshowstore.com. But I personally like this one, Murdered Out. It fits great, and it funds the InfoWar and supports President Trump. And if you don't like Murdered Out, we got it white on black. So get yours right now and a bunch of other great designs of hoodies and T-shirts and top-of-the-line supplements that all fund the Second American Revolution at thealexshowstore.com. Let me show you a few more of these. Now that the FDA admits fluoride does lower your IQ and give you cancer and infertility, it's a great time to wear one of these beautiful hats, and it's a great way to start a conversation and warn people. Here's the classic Make America Great Again Murdered Out, and we've got the Save the Frogs, over 50 designs, all at thealexshowstore.com, and it keeps us on air and it spreads the word. Please go to alexshowstore.com and get your Patriot gear. A new extremely important product is now available exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, Ultimate Probiotic. This is a private label, but even made stronger, of one of the top highly recommended, highly rated brands out there today. And it's more than just a probiotic. It's got a whole bunch of known natural ingredients that boost your overall gut health and that detoxify and that helps flush out all the garbage in your body. Ladies and gentlemen, with all the attacks on our bodies, you have to understand that the gut is the front line. And if you don't have a strong gut, it's like not having a front door on your house or an engine in your car. The gut is so important. Probiotics are amazing and are documented for their great effects. Get this high-quality probiotic right now, Ultimate Probiotic, 60 billion, at TheAlexShowStore.com. And I want to thank you for your support. Now take action at TheAlexShowStore.com. Again, I thank you for your support.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.